With the help of Hashem, we will now be studying a sicha, a sermon, or an essay of the Lubavitcher Rebbe Melech HaMashiach Shlita, which he delivered on Shabbos Nachamu, Shabbos after Tisha B'Av, the 16th of Menachemov, in the year 5751, corresponding to the secular year of 1991. This sicha was edited after Shabbos by the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach himself for the purpose of publishing it in the then Kfar Chabad magazine. The sicha was printed in Lashon HaKodesh, in what we call Hebrew, and then it came out as a separate pamphlet, and subsequently it was published in Sefer HaSichas, Heitinase, the talks of 5751, volume 2, page 736. And then afterwards it was reprinted in many places, such as in the Dvar Malchus books, and in many other places. Misichos Shabbos Parshas Voeschanan, Shabbos Nachamu, Tezayin Menachemov, Heitinase. So as mentioned, this is from the talks at the Farbrengen, at the get-together on Shabbos, where the weekly parsha was Voeschanan, which is Shabbos Nachamu, as we will discussing in the Yesicha itself, the 16th of Menachemov. Yodua shegam haftarais deshiva de nechemta shemaftirin benechomes Yishayahu meyachar Tisha B'Av ad Reish Hashana. It is known that also the haftaris of the 7 weeks of comfort, of condolencing, which from the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av until Rosh Hashanah, each week for the 7 weeks, the haftarah is from the consolations of the prophet Yishayahu, Isaiah. Shehem lefi azman ulefi ameura, that they are according to the time and according to the events. V'loik mei haftarais dishar shabseis hashana, not like the haftarahs of the other Shabboses of the year. Shehem me'inin aparshiyos doime bedoime, that they are of a theme of the parsha, very similar to the theme of the parsha itself. Yeshlam kesher v'shaychus linin aparshiyos. These haftaris of these 7 weeks indeed also have a connection to the concept and the theme spoken about in the parsha. Kevin shegam ha'mu'ura is dizman ha'shana lefi hazman ulefi ha'mu'ura shayochim leparshas ha'shavua. For everything which happens during a particular time of year, an event which takes place during a certain time is connected to the parsha of that week. Kedivrei hashalom, shehamoyadim shel kol hashana, b'chulon yeshayichus loyisen aparshiyos shecholos bahen, ki hakel miyad Hashem hiskil. As the words of the Shla, that the various festivals throughout the entire year all have a connection to the parsha in which they fall. For everything is directed in a divine manner. All right, allow me to explain a bit. We have the weekly parsha that we read in public in synagogue every Shabbos, generally speaking. And within 1 year, we complete the entire Torah, beginning with, right after Simchas Torah, Shabbos Bereishis. We read the first Sedra, the first Parsha called Bereishis. The next week, Shabbos Parshas Noyach, and so on. And then we conclude the Torah with the last and final Parsha, Vizayis HaBracha, on Simchas Torah. This has been a custom going very far back. But then there came a point in Jewish history where, according to some, the way that the Haftarah was introduced was there was a decree, the anti-Semitic, non-Jewish government that was ruling over the Jewish people made a decree and forbade public reading of the Torah. So therefore, what was instituted then, in a sense, to commemorate what the Parsha would have been and what we should be reading, which we can't at that time, was they chose various different sections from the Nevi'im, from the prophets, which speak about the same idea, the same theme as the Parsha. And for a certain period of time, instead of reading from the Torah, in its place, we were reading the Navi, the prophets. And then, when, with the help of Hashem, the decree, of course, was abolished, and the Jewish people, the Jewish community, was able to return to reading the Torah in public, they continued this custom of reading the Haftarah. Hence, from then on, the Haftarah is read as an addition, as a follow-up, so to say, to the reading of the Torah itself, of the Parsha. On Shabbos, there are generally seven aliyahs. Seven people are called up to the Torah. And then the Haftarah, usually, is just a repeat of the last three or four or five psukim, verses. And then that person who got what's called maftir reads, says a special blessing beforehand and blessings afterwards, and reads a section of the Navi, of the prophet. On Yom Tov, on a Jewish festival, be it Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur or Sukkot or Pesach or Shavuos, or even a rabbinic festival such as Chanukah or Purim, they obviously fall out on a certain date and a certain time of year. And it will fall out in a particular parsha. Not necessarily in the exact same parsha, but within the same one or two or perhaps three parshiyos. For example, Chanukah will fall out around Parshas Vayeshev. Says the Shloha HaKadosh that the parsha that we're reading at that time, according to Jewish custom, is not coincidental, but is precise and exact. Therefore, the events, the festivals, have a connection to that particular parsha. And he will find you the connection of, let's say, Chanukah to that particular parsha, even though one would think, what does Chanukah have to do with the story that's happening in the book of Bereishis? And likewise, all festivals, all events have a connection. And based on that, in a number of essays, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach takes this concept and explains it. For example, Yutes Kislev, the 19th of Kislev, which is the liberation of the Alter Rebbe, Reb Shneur Zalman, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, known as Rosh Hashanah for Chassidus. So the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach connects Yutes Kislev to the parsha in which it falls out, Vayishlach, for example. Now, officially, not every single parsha has to do with the theme, not every single Haftarah, rather, has to do with the theme of the parsha. Generally, that's the way it is. But if it's a special occasion, so then we will read a special Haftarah, which seemingly has nothing to do with that particular parsha. For example, the last 10 weeks of the year, from when the Bein HaMitzarim, the three-week period of mourning, begin, for those 3 weeks, they're called the 3 weeks of Puranusa, of calamity. And those Haftarahs are speaking about destruction, etc. Seemingly, nothing to do with the Parshiyos. And then after Tisha B'Av, for the next 7 weeks, all the way till Rosh Hashanah, they are all known as Shiva D'Nechemta, the 7 weeks of comfort. All speaking about redemption and Mashiach. Seemingly, nothing to do with the Parshiyos. However, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach does not accept this. And as we'll soon see in the footnotes, explains that everything is very precise and very exact. And a particular Haftarah definitely has a connection to that particular Parsha in which it's read. Now it's very interesting to note, footnote 4. Va'Parshiyos. Those parshiyos where the Haftarah varies according to the changes of the set calendar, of the date in which the parsha falls out. For example, Parshas Re'eh. can sometimes be on Rish Chodesh Elul. Now, Re'eh is always one of the Shiva de Nechemta. So we push off the Haftarah of Re'eh, we don't read it then. Instead, we read the special Haftarah, which we read every Rish Chodesh that falls out on Shabbos, any Rish Chodesh. Hashemayim Kisi, which is also a Nechama, a comfort. It's the last chapter of Yeshayahu of Isaiah. It's Isaiah 66, Yeshayah 66. Instead of reading Ani Aseira, which is in Yeshayah Nun Dalet 54, which according to the Chabad custom, in that case, 2 weeks later, on Shabbos Parshas Kiseitze, the 14th of Elul, when we read Rani Akara, which is from Yeshayah Nun Dalet 54, the first 10 psukim, we just continue and read Ani Aseira. So we end up not missing that Haftarah. But be that as it may, the Haftarah for Parshas Re'eh is not always the same Haftarah. And likewise, Parshas Vayelech. Vayelech sometimes is read on the Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So then, of course, it's Shabbos Shuvah. So we read the special Haftarah for Shabbos Shuvah, regardless of what the Parsha is. So we read Shuvah in place of Sais Asis. Because Sais Asis would be read when Itzavim and Vayelech are together, which means that it's the last Shabbos of the year, and that would be the Shabbos prior to Rosh Hashanah. So even those weeks that don't have an absolutely set Haftarah, but it can vary, says the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, Yesh Loimar, we can say, Shebetechen Parshiyes Elu Yeshnam Beis Inyonim Shemasimim Lotechen Beis Azmanim. That the content of these Parshiyos, in these examples, Re'eh or Vayelech, they have in them two different themes and ideas which are appropriate and befitting for both of those Haftarahs. That's how far we're taking it. Uladugma, and for example, in the connection of the 3 weeks of Purdanusa, which precede the 7 weeks of Nechamasa, Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas, its Haftarah also changes according to the date in which it is. For certain years, we read Parshas Pinchas Shabbos before the Bein HaMitzarim begin, Shabbos prior to the 17th of Tammuz. And in certain years, Parshas Pinchas is already within the Bein HaMitzarim. So the theme of Geul, of redemption in Parshas Pinchas, as of course is emphasized in the very name of the Parsha, for we know that Pinchas, Ze Eliyahu, Pinchas is in fact one and the same of Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu is Mevaser HaGeula. He plays a very important role in the redemption. He's the one who heralds in and proclaims the coming of Mashiach, the coming of the redemption. And what does Parshas Pinchas speak about? The division of the land of Eretz Yisrael for all the tribes. So there are two ways that you can have this. A, the Geula, the way it precedes and is higher than the three-week period of Bein HaMitzarim, or alternatively, B, the Geula within and thereby nullifying and transforming the Bein HaMitzarim. In other words, every single Haftarah is absolutely connected to the Parsha, and it is not coincidental. And even in these weeks where officially there isn't a connection to the Parsha, and one might think that it happens to be Shabbos Nachamu, which speaks all about comforting the Jewish people and consoling them. It has nothing to do with Va'eschanan. Tells us the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach that that is not so, and with that we continue inside the Sicha proper. Uvenidin dindan. And in our case, Sheshabbos Nachamu, Al Shem Ascholas Haftarah, Nachamu Nachamu Ami, Ascholas Veresh, Shekoilul Kol Pratei Ha'inyonim, Deshiva Dinechemta. This Shabbos of Nachamu, and it's called so because of the opening words of the Haftarah, which is from Yeshayah chapter 40, right at the beginning, Mem, Pasuk Aleph, where the opening words are, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, that Hashem says, comfort, O comfort my people. And that is the beginning, and not just the beginning, but the Rosh, the head. And as we know that the head includes in it all of the details, just as in the physical body, so to anything which we refer to as the head,
contains in it all the details. And this is the beginning and the head of all the 7 weeks. This is the first Haftarah of the Shiva de Nechemta. Shaykh leParshas Vaeschanan, this has a connection. It is related to Parshas Vaeschanan. Nachamu leVaeschanan. Shekairin leElam b'Shabbos Shachar Tishabav. For we always read Parshas Vaeschanan, the Shabbos, right after Tishabav. Earlier in the footnote, we gave examples of Parshas which change and are not always read on the exact date. So too, Vaeschanan obviously is not always read on the same date. But one thing that it definitely does have, and that is that it's always read on the Shabbos immediately after Tisha B'Av. Whatever day of the week Tisha B'Av is, the following Shabbos is always Vaeschanan, and therefore it's always the Haftarah of Nachamu Nachamu Ami. Unekudas Abiyur. So now we're going to try to capsulize the explanation of the connection between Vaeschanan and Nachamu. Shenachmu, Nachmu Ami, Nechama Bechiflayim, that this double language where it says, comfort, O comfort, my people, which is, so to say, a double dose of comfort, the Medrash, as brought down in footnote 9, the Medrash Eicha Rabba, interprets this double language of Nachmu, Nachmu, as a redoubled comfort, referring to, as the other Medrash in footnote 10, Yalkut Shimoini, Al Bayis Rishon v'Al Bayis Sheni, for the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. As we know that on Tisha B'Av, both holy temples, the first and then the second, were both destroyed on the very same date. 490 years later, the second temple was destroyed. Hi anechama debinin Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi b'Geula HaShlishis. So what is the comfort for the destruction of the first and the second temple? That is the building of the third temple in what we refer to as the third redemption. Bayis Nitzchi uGeula Nitzchis Shein Acharei HaGalus. It is an eternal building, an eternal edifice, and it is an eternal redemption, meaning that there is no exile to follow. Until now, we had various exiles and redemptions. Every one of those redemptions was not an absolute redemption, because ultimately, sooner or later, it was followed by further galus, again by exile. The redemption, known as the third redemption in this case, the redemption, the future redemption through Mashiach, is a geula nitzchis. It's an eternal one, because after that, there won't be any galus. And likewise, the Beis HaMikdash is an eternal one, because unlike the first and second, it will never be destroyed. It will never cease to exist. And this idea, this theme, is also connected to Vaeschanan, which is the name of the Parsha, the opening word of the Parsha. Tfilase shel Moshe lihikanes la'aretz, which in fact is the prayer of Moshe to enter the land. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people in the beginning of our Parsha. He's telling them, Vaeschanan, and I requested, I pleaded, I prayed to Hashem to allow me into the land. Kayadu, as it's known, she'ilu zachu Yisrael, that had the Jewish people merited, lichnisa la'aretz, ulevinyan beis hamikdash, al gidein Moshe, to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael, and to have the building of the beis hamikdash through Moshe, that would have immediately been the eternal redemption, and they would have had the eternal Beis HaMikdash, as is brought down in all the various references in footnote 14, which gives a whole long list and concludes with the word V'oid, meaning there's other references as well. In other words, Jewish history, and actually world history, would have taken a completely different course and would have been different than we know it now. The first Beis HaMikdash would not have been built by Shlomo HaMelech and then ultimately destroyed. But had Moshe Rabbeinu led the Jewish people into Eretz Yisrael, that would have been the eternal conquest of the land. The Geula would have been eternal, and the Beis HaMikdash would have been the eternal Beis HaMikdash. Aval, however, Beparshas Vaeschanan mudgash gam uveiker shebakoshas Moshe lihikanes la'aretz leinis kaima. In Parshas Vaeschanan, what is also and primarily emphasized is that this request of Moshe to enter the land was not fulfilled. Kimefurash Bakra, as the verse explicitly states, Vaisaber Hashem bi lemanchem v'leishama Eloi. And Hashem became angry with me because of you, and he did not listen to me. V'ad shevayemer Hashem Eloi geymer al teisef daber Eloi oid badover hazeh alei reish hapisko geymer ki loisa avoir esayardin hazeh v'tzavis Yeshua geymer v'hu yanchi loisam esaharetz geymer. Moshe continues and says to the Jewish people that Hashem said to me at that time, do not speak to me anymore about this matter. Go up to the top of the hill, and you can look from there. For you will not cross this Yarden, this river, the Jordan. And command Yeshua, in other words, give over the leadership to him, and he will bring them to inherit the land. Hainu, meaning to say, Shibiparshas Vaschanon Mudgosh Shebepoyol Hoysa Knisa Loretz Le Alide Moshe El Alide Yeshua. Meaning to say that in Parshas Vaschanon, what is emphasized is that in actuality, the entrance into the land was not through Moshe, but rather through Yeshua, his student and successor. Shilachreze Hoyachurban Vegolus. And being that it wasn't Moshe, so eventually, after this, there was destruction and exile. And as it says further in this parsha of Vaschanon, Dalet Chafei, chapter 4, verse 25, Kisei Lidbanim V'Gomer, that if, when you're going to have children, and then it continues, and grandchildren, and you'll be in the land for a long time, and you lapse, and you're going to make Avodah Zarah, you're going to make any images, and you're going to do that which is wrong in the eyes of Hashem, that which is evil, and you're going to provoke his anger, and then there's going to come galus. So that is the parsha which tells us that there's going to be an exile and destruction. And this is really Hakriya de Tisha B'Av. This is the Kriya Satera that we read on Tisha B'Av. We read this Tisha B'Av in the morning. So this parsha is really telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't make it into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, what happens subsequently is that there's going to be galus, exile. Ve'ich masim ze im teichen haftara al dvar bitul v'shlila sachur ben v'agalus al yedei hanechama b'chiflaim shebegiul anitzchis uveis hamikdash nitzchi. So how does this fit with the content of the haftara of this week, which is speaking all about nullifying and negating the destruction and the exile through the redoubled comfort, through the eternal redemption and the eternal Beis HaMikdash? It doesn't seem to really fit. V'av shelcheira efshe leimer shveparshas v'aschanon mudgash hatzerech v'hahechrech v'nechama b'kiflayim shebegiul amitis v'ashleima. Although, seemingly, one can suggest that in Parshas Vaschanon, what's emphasized is the necessity and the need for this great redoubled comfort, which is going to only take place by the true and complete redemption. Biglal achurban vagolus, because of, as a result of the destruction and exile. Kiven shaknisa la'aretz lehoysa yidei Moshe, which is all a result because the actual entrance into the land originally was not through Moshe, and therefore there became the destruction and galus. Mistaber loimar, logically it makes sense to say, shegam hanechama b'kiflaim atzma, that also this comfort itself in a redoubled fashion, loirak hatzorech v'hahechrech ba, not merely the necessity and the need for this comfort, Shayeches leteichna shel parshas Vaschanon, is actually connected to the content of this parsha Vaschanon, kidelakamon, as we will explain further. In footnote 16, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach emphasizes that the verses further continue, and Hashem again repeats, Moshe repeats, that Hashem was angry with me because of you, and Hashem swore not to allow me to cross over the Yarden, the Jordan River. So we'll be able to understand this how we find that actually in Vaschanon we do have this redoubled comfort by first explaining what really is the content of this first Haftarah of the 7 weeks of comfort. Nachmu, Nachmu Ami. Comfort, O comfort my people. Nechama b'chiflayim. A redoubled comfort. Shaychusa shel ha-haftarah linyan ha-ge'ulahi, the connection of the Haftarah to the concept of redemption is noisaf al-klolus linyan ha-nechama, Nachmu, in addition to the general theme of comfort, as the opening word Nachmu, be comforted, Gam mitzad inin ha-kefel is also because of this double, the repetition, Nechama b'chiflayim, a redoubled comfort. And as the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach points out in footnote 19, in addition to the case at hand, that the repetition itself is in the idea of comfort. It's Nachmu, Nachmu. But now we're going to talk about just the idea of kefel, of doubling something, that is geula, that is redemption. Kayadu, as it's known, shekefel shayichu meir alinin ha-geula, that double is associated with and shows the idea of redemption. Kedisa b'medrash. As the Medrash states, and you can see in footnote 20 the references to where the Medrash is found. Chamesh oisiyos nechpelu. There are five letters of the Aleph Beis, of the Jewish alphabet, which are doubled. Meaning, the final letter, when the letter is written at the end of a word, it takes on a different form. V'chulam l'shein ge'ula. And all five of them are expressions of redemption. You have chaf, and then lange chaf, the ende chaf, the final chaf. In other words, you have the letter chaf, which if it appears anywhere other than at the end of the word, it is written in a certain form, called a chaf kfufa. It's bent at the bottom. However, if the last letter of the word is a kaf or chaf, then it is written differently, called a chaf pshuta, where that line extends straight instead of curving. Two different forms. So that letter, chaf chaf, sheboi nigal Avraham avinu meyur kastim. For with this letter, Avraham was redeemed. Our forefather Avraham, Abraham, was redeemed from Ur Kastim. Shenemar, as the verse states in the beginning of the parsh of Lech Lecha. So it says, Lech Lecha meyartzecha. Where Hashem says to Avraham, go away for yourself. Lech Lecha, go for yourself. And there you have the both of those words of redemption, which incidentally are identical, it's just the vowels which make the difference, and both with a line gechaf. So there we see that the letter chaf is associated with geula. Mem, chulei, two mems, mem, mem. Nun, nun, the regular nun and the end of nun, chulei, etc. In other words, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is skipping what the Medrash says. If you're really interested, you could look up in the Medrash and see what mem has to do with redemption and what nun has to do with redemption. Mem has to do with Yitzchak, and nun has to do with Yaakov. But we won't go into it here in detail because the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is skipping. He's just alluding to it by saying etc. Pei Fei, the next letter, so we had Chaf, we had Lamed, Mem, and Nun. The next letter is regular Pei or Fei, and then the Lange Fei, the final letter Fei. Boi Nigalu Aveisenu Mimitzrayim. With this letter of the Pei or Fei, our forefathers were redeemed from Mitzrayim, from Egypt. Shenemar, for as the verse states, Pokeit Pokadeti. Pokoid pokadati, remembered, I have remembered you. And again, it's a double expression. Pokoid pokadati, each beginning with the letter pei. That was actually the code which was given to the Jewish people back from Yaakov Avinu and Yosef Atzadik, that they said that's going to be the code of redemption. Pokoid yivkoid eschem Hashem, or as it says over here by the pasuk in the redemption, pokoid pokadati. And then we come to the fifth and final letter of redemption. Tzadik and Lange Tzadik. The regular letter Tzadik, and then the way it appears at the end of a word, the end of Tzadik. Boy Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ligei LiYisrael. With this letter of Tzadik, in the future, says the Medrash, Hashem is going to redeem the Jewish people. Footnote 23, in one of these Midrashim, in the Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar, it adds and tells us what the code is. V'loimar lohem tzemach tzomachti lohem. That I'm going to bring forth, to sprout out for you, the redemption. B'soif malchus revius, at the end of the fourth kingdom or rulership, shenemar, and it quotes the pasuk from Zechariah, Vav Yud Beis, chapter 6, verse 12. Ish tzemach shmoi umitachtov yitzmach. Behold, there is a man, his name is Tzemach, umitachtov yitzmach, and he will flourish in his place. There we find that the name Tzemach is associated with Moshiach. Now, as we saw in the footnote 20, a list of the Midrashim. So in the Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar, it does not bring the words B'soif Malchus Revius. It just says, and it adds that he's going to say Tzemach Tzomachti Lachem, and then we bring the proof text Shenemar from the pasuk in Zechariah. Now in footnote 25, in this Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar, he adds also the end of the pasuk, the end of the verse. Uvana es Heichal Hashem. And he will build the sanctuary of Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash. And in some of the other sources that were brought in footnote 20, in Medrash Rabban Bamidbar and in Tanchuma, it adds, Ze Moshiach. This, in fact, is Moshiach. V'cheinu oimer, as the verse states, V'akimoisi l'David tzemach tzadik. And I'm going to bring up, I will establish for David, from his descendants, tzemach tzadik, a righteous growth. U'molach melech v'hiskil v'asa mishpat u'tztaka baretz. And he shall reign and rule and be successful and do righteousness and justice in the land. In other words, we see that there are five letters connected and associated with redemption, all the five letters. And particularly the last one, the letter Tzadik, is connected with Moshiach. V'yesh loymar, and we can say, Shashaychus dekeifel l'geula, that the connection between double and redemption, merumezes gam b'lushen hakosuv, is also actually hinted, it's alluded to, in the language of the verse. Kiflaim l'sushia. Which, as you see in footnote 26, is from Iyoiv, Yud Aleph Vav, the book of Iyoiv, chapter 11, verse 6. These words of Kiflaim L'Sushia, quoting this verse, the Rebbe Melech HaMoshiach very often uses these words, especially when blessing individuals. Very often, on Sundays, during the distribution of dollars and brachas, when people approach the Rebbe Melech HaMoshiach, it is not uncommon for him to give a person, instead of $1, $2, and thereby wishing them and saying the words, Kiflaim L'Sushia. The verse itself reads as follows. This is Iyoiv, Yud Aleph Vav. V'yagid l'cha talum es chachma. He would relate to you hidden recesses of wisdom, of chachma. Ki chiflaim l'sushia. For the wisdom of Torah is manifold. The commentaries explain here that the word tushia is basically the same idea of chachma. It is wisdom of Torah. And the verse continues, Veda, and you should know, Ki yashelecha eloika me'avinecha, that Hashem exacts from you less than your iniquities. At any rate, this terminology of kiflayim lesushia, of redoubled support. Tushia, gam miloshen Yeshua geula. This interesting word of tushia, which can have various interpretations, and according to the simple reading of this verse, as the commentaries explain, it means wisdom of Torah. One of the interpretations, one of the alternative ways to explain it, is the word tushia comes from the expression of Yeshua, which means salvation, like the Navi Yeshayahu, same root, redemption. So not only does the word mean wisdom, but actually tushia can mean redemption. And perhaps with that, we might have a little bit of insight as to why Melech HaMashiach personally uses that expression so often of kiflaim lesushia. Ubebir ha'inyan bepashtus. And to explain this idea simply. And when he says bepashtus, so footnote 27, this is in addition to the explanation according to Kabbalah and Chassidus, which for that you can take a look at the references in footnote 27, the various Maimarim, which explain what we're going to now say according to Kabbalah and Chassidus. We are now going to explain it in simple terms. Yeshloimar, we can say, kiflayim, pi'omim rabois, many times, many fold. Kailal includes, noisaf al beis pi'omim kacha, gam ribui. In addition to kiflayim being double, twice as much, it also includes manifold. Oy gam ribui gadol, or also a great many times. Ve'ad letachlis haribui boifen shel bli gvul, up until ultimately to the complete true idea of ribui, which means beyond limitation, infinite. Footnote 28, Ki kol zman sha'ribui hu b'medida v'agbala, for as long as the ribui, as the many, is limited, ein ze ribui be'emes la'mitoi. So in the truest level of truth, it really isn't ribui. Sh'ri yichon lo'isif ribui gadol yaser, for you can add to it. In other words, if it's only 100, that's not truly ribui, because it can have more. If it's only 1,000, if it's only 10,000, if it's only 100,000, if it's only 1 million, if it's only 1 billion, that's not true ribui in the deepest and truest sense, because you can always have more. So there is no number. So it's actually infinity. So the true concept of kefel is not only very many times, but it has to be bligvul, infinite. Kfishim matzinu bedivrei razal, shelemedi mikefel aloshen bakasuv, afilu mea pe'omim. As we actually find, in the words of our sages of blessed memory, that we learn out from a double expression in a verse, that even 100 times, and as is referenced in footnote 29, there the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Lamed Aleph, 31a, is discussing various different mitzvahs where the Torah uses a double lashon, shaleach, teshalach, to send away the mother bird, it says, send, you shall send away. Or hashev teshivim, returning lost articles, return, you shall return. Or hecheyach techiach, by the mitzvah of rebuking a fellow, it says, reprimand, you shall reprimand. So the way we discuss in the Gemara there, and the way that our sages explain why the double lashon, is to teach you, as the Talmud states, afilu mea pe'amim, that it's not sufficient to do this mitzvah once or even twice. But the double expression is telling you even 100 times. Sha'kavana bazeh, and the meaning of that, loy lahagbil achiyuv lemea pe'amim v'lo yeser. It certainly does not mean literally 100 times and no more, not 101. Ela, but rather, what the meaning of the Gemara is, gam l'ribui gadol yeser. Even more times, the expression that they mean, afilu mea pa'amim, means as many times as necessary. Va'ad l'tachlis haribui, up until the ultimate many, shenichlal bashleimus demeya, which is included in this perfect whole number of Mea 100. K'maymer Azal, like our sages of blessed memory state elsewhere, footnote 30, in the Talmud Gemara, Menaches Mem Gimel Seif Amud Beis, 43b, Chayav Adam Levarich Mea Brachas Bechol Yoim. One is obligated to say 100 benedictions a day, every day. And it says 100. Shebohem nichlolim kol habrachos v'ha'aretz v'ha'hamshachos v'ha'hashpa'os ol yoinos. Now in these 100 brachas that we say daily, they include and incorporate in them all the blessings, all of the godly energy, all of the things that we're supposed to be drawing down, all of the high, lofty, godly flows of godly energy. Why? Because all matters, in their perfect sense, are brought out and expressed in number 10. Misper Hasholim. That's the number of perfection. In footnote 32, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach references two places. One is the Ibn Ezra, his commentary on Shmois, and the other one is a Kabbalah Sefer, the Pardes. Basically, what they're saying is that in numbers, all you really have is 10. From 1 through 10, and then after that, it's all repetition. Because 11 is 10 plus 1, and so on. And then once you get to 20, it's just double 10. So when it comes to numbers, 10 is the complete number. Which means, conceptually speaking, all matters are complete when involving the idea and the theme of 10. Now, to have absolute completion, it's how each one of those 10 is himself comprised of 10. Eser pamim eser, 10 times 10, misper mea, which is number 100. Uvemeila nichlol baze, gamma is kalalus de eser bechol echad meha mea, eser pamim mea. And therefore, subsequently, this, of course, would include in it the way each one of these 10 is incorporated and comprised of the completion of 100. 10 times 100, mispar aleph, that's 1,000. V'cheina is kalalus de eser bechol echad meha aleph, and likewise, the way each one of these 10 is incorporated and contains within it every one of these 1,000. Eser pamim aleph, 10 times 1,000, mispar revava, that's 10,000. V'keilul gam revava miloshen ribui. And this also includes rivava, not only literally meaning the number 10,000, but also the root of the word is ribui, which means an increase, many. Until we come to the ultimate ribui, so many that as the verse states in Vayishlach, Lamed Beis Yud Gimel, chapter 32, verse 13, that Yaakov is saying to Hashem that you told me that you will do good with me and that you will make my descendants kechel hayom, like the sand of the sea, asher leisofer meiroiv, which cannot be counted because they'll be so great, so many. So ultimately it's beyond number. So we see over here that 100 brings out the concept of infinity. And we're not talking about the literal limited number of 100. And according to this, we can explain the connection and the association that double has with redemption. Because as we've just finished explaining, that the idea of kefel, of double, is actually beyond limitation, it's infinite. Shaykh legula mitisva shleima. This is connected with the true and the complete redemption. Sha'az, that then, yisgale ba'olam, will become revealed in the world, ha'or ha'aliki habligvul, the infinite godly light. Footnote 34, as the verse says in this haftera of this Shabbos Nachamu, v'nigla kveid Hashem v'rochol basu yachtov kipi Hashem diber, that the glory of Hashem will become revealed and all flesh will see together that the mouth of Hashem has spoken. In other words, we will all have in a most revealed way, and we will see the infinite godly light. To use the language of Kabbalah and Chassidus, it will be the revelation of the Or Ein Sof, the infinite light. And therefore, then, all matters will be in their true perfection. Beginning with the true perfection of the redemption and the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple. Geula Nitzchis uVeis HaMikdash Nitzchi. An eternal redemption and an eternal Beis HaMikdash. B'li Gvul, without limitation, eternal, infinite. D'loi kevais Rishon uVeis Sheni b'geula Rishon u'Shnia. Unlike the first and second Beis HaMikdash, respectively, by the first and the second redemptions. Shehayu b'meshech zman mugbal, they were and lasted for a limited time. Tof Yud v'tof Chof Shana. 410 and 420 years, respectively. V'yesh loymar, and we can say, Shabli gvul shebegul amitis v'ashleima, that this infinity of the true and complete redemption, mudgash b'kefil denachamu nachmu, is emphasized in the repetitive or redoubled expression of Nachamu Nachamu, Yoiser Meyasher Bechamish Oisiois, Shenechbelu Vechulon Lashen Geula. More so than the medrash that we brought down before, the five letters, which are all doubled, and each one of them is an expression of redemption. Nachamu Nachamu is actually stronger than those five. Bekefel de Lech Lecha, in the doubling of the word Lech Lecha, Lamed v'chaf pshuta. Both words, lech lecha, are equal, they're identical in their letters, in the spelling. They're both spelled with a lamed, and then a final chaf. The chaf which the leg extends down instead of curving. But they are actually different, and they're distinct one from another, in their meaning and in their content. Mitzad achiluk, and that difference comes because of the difference of their vowels. Lech, lamed b'segoil, v'chaf b'shva. The first word is lech. Peirushoi, halicha, which means to go, to move, to travel. Ulecha, lamed b'shva, v'chaf b'kamatz. And the second word, lecha, peirushoi, l'hana'ascha ulotevascha. For your own benefit and for your good. Which we can explain parenthetically, that when Hashem says to Avraham, Lecha, that it's for your benefit and for your own good, that includes also the benefit and the good of his personal redemption from Urkastim. But be that as it may, these two words, as identical as they are, mean two completely different things. Bechefel de pokait pokadati, in the double expression of pocket pokadati, remember I remembered, perush v'teichen bezateves shave l'shen pkida. The meaning and the content of both words is in fact identical. It means to remember. Avol yishchiduk b'yisayin uvenekudayisayin. But there is a difference between their letters, if you look at the entire words, and in their vowelization, in the nekudays. Pokoid, the first word is actually the root of the word, those three letters, pei, kuf, dalit. But then you have the second word, ufakadati hi apiula. But the word pokadati, where we add a tough yud at the end, is the action, bilashen avar, in past tense. Valderech ze, pokid yivkoid, bilashen asid. Where you have the expression where Yosef tells the Bnei Yisrael that Hashem will remember you. So there too, it's in the future tense. And the same thing with the word of redemption of tzaddik, where it says, tzemach yitzmach, a growth shall grow forth. Shetzemach hu asheresh, the first word, tzemach, tzaddik, mem, ches, is the root word. V'yitzmach yapu'ula. And yitzmach is the action. In other words, it takes on the form and becomes a verb. Pekadati, yitzmach. So it's not the same word. So lech lecha, though it's spelled the same, completely different words. Poket pekadati, tzemach yitzmach, although it's the same root, but the word takes on a different form. Mashein kin bekefil de nachmu nachmu, which is not the case in the double language of nachmu nachmu. Comfort, comfort. Ein chiluk bois yeseyen, unakud yeseyen, shalatoyves akfulois. There is no difference between the letters and the vowelization, the nekudos, of these double words. Shesteyen shavois mamish. The two of them are exactly identical, letter for letter, vowel for vowel. It's the same exact word repeated twice. Ubibir amaylo bekeful beis teves shavois mamish, nachmu nachmu. And to explain the advantage of the repetition of the doubling of two identical words, namely nachmu nachmu, legabe kefil beis tevois sheyesh chiluk beinehem. Comparing that to the repetition, to the doubling of two words where there is a distinction between them, befeirushon, either in their meaning, kmei lech lecha, such as lech lecha, they mean two different things. Or also in the actual spelling of the letters, such as pocket pocadati. Yeshloimar, we can explain as follows. Keifel ateva bishinui mipamarishena, kme pocket pocadati. The repetition, the doubling, by changing the word from the way that it was said the first time, such as pocket pocadati. Moire, that shows, shiyeshefanim shainim badover, that there are variations in the matter that we're talking about. Or there is an additional detail, or an additional something, a particular thing, which was not included in the first time that it was mentioned, in the first word. V'lochein, and therefore, yesh tzerech be'isafa, oy havhara, al yidei ashinui bekeifal aloshin, legabi pam rishena. And therefore, there is a necessity to add or to clarify by changing the repeated word. The second time is not exactly the same it was said the first time. Kloimar, this means to say, noisaf al chizuk lolus adavar, al yidei keifal haloshin. In addition to the fact that repeating it is strengthening the point, its emphasis, Mudgash bashinui keifel haloshin shebichlolus adavar yeshno meifanim shoinim shechalukim zemizeh. But it's actually emphasizing that by changing the form of the word when you are repeating it, that's showing us and emphasizing that there are variations, there are different ways, and how they are different one from the other. They're not exactly identical. It's not just a repeat for the sake of strengthening or emphasis. Which is not the case, though, when the repetition of the word is exactly identical, such an, as in our case, where it says the exact same word twice, nachmu nachmu. In chiluk beifanei adavar, there's no difference in the manners. V'lo yisof as prat v'inyan mesuyam, and no detail or extra something is added. Sh'lo yinichlal bepam rishayna, which was not included in the first time it was said. Ki'im inyan ha-kefil kishel atzmai. All you have is the repetition in its pure, it's just repetition, redoubled. Ubir achiluk shebeinehem, b'negia linyan ha-beli gvul kefil shebegeula. Now to explain the difference between these two types of kefil, of repetitiveness, with regards to the infinity, the kefil of geula. Because after all, we did say that repeating brings out geula, and geula, redemption, is infinite. So now we're going to explain the difference between that element of being infinite when you're repeating the word, but it's not the exact same way, same word, or where you're repeating the exact same word, nachmu nachmu. Shebekeifel de pocket pokadati, that by the repetition of pocket pokadati, remember I remembered, mudgash gam, what it's also emphasizing, sheyeshefanim shenim b'agiula, that there are variations in redemption. There are different ways of redemption. Uvichlalus, in general terms, hachiluk shebein geula rishayna uvais rishayn legeula shnei uvais sheni. the distinction, the difference that there is between the first redemption and the first Beis HaMikdash on the one hand, and the second redemption and the second Beis HaMikdash. V'yesh b'zeh ma'shein b'zeh, and each one has an advantage over the other. There's something that the first redemption and the first Beis HaMikdash have over the second, and there are some things which the second has over the first. Uvimele ein ze b'li gvul amitosoi, and therefore, in the ultimate absolute truth, it's not real b'li gvul, it isn't real infinity. Because as we said earlier, in order for it to be truly and really infinite, it has to be completely perfect, and there can't be anything lacking. Mashenkin bekeful denachmu nachmu mudgash b'li gvul binin ha-geula, b'li gvul kefil l'amitosoi. However, when you have the same word repeated twice, the exact same word, letter for letter, vowel for vowel, and it's just repetition, that emphasizes the true and the absolute bligvul infinity of the redemption. Meaning, the second word doesn't add anything to the first word, and the first word doesn't have anything that the second word doesn't have. It's the exact same word repeated. Meaning, Kefel, repetition, Geula, Bligvul, but not just Bligvul, relative Bligvul, but it's absolute Bligvul, true and absolute infinity. And this will actually come out more gishmak, sweeter, according to the words of the Medrash, and we quote. This is the Yalkut Shimoni on Yeshaya, as you can see in footnote 38. Hoylchim kulam, all go. Meaning, ha'avos v'nevi'im she'shalchem HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'nachem es Knesset Yisrael. The forefathers and the prophets that Hashem has sent to comfort the Jewish people or the collective souls of all the Jews. So they all go, the forefathers and the prophets, lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They appear before Hashem. This is the Medrash telling us. V'oimrim, and they say, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Eina mekabelas mimenu tanchumin. She, the Jewish people, Knesset Yisrael, is not accepting from us comfort, condolence. Shenemar. And now there's going to be a little bit of a dialogue here. And they quote the words from the Navi Yeshayahu, Nundalid Yudalif, 54:11. Which is the Haftarah. Normally it's the Haftarah for Parshas Re'eh, which would normally be the third week of the 7 weeks. And they quote to Hashem, Ani aseyara loy nuchama, poor or afflicted, seyara, like a storm, meaning she's really poor and thrown around like in a storm, Loi Nuchama, who has not been comforted. You sent us to comfort her, but the Jewish people are not being comforted. Amar Lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem says to them, to the Avos and the Nevi'im, Ani v'atem neilech uninachamena. I and you will go and comfort her, the Jewish people. Heve nachamu nachamu Ami, and this is the meaning of comfort, O comfort, my people. Nechamua, nechamua, imi. The Medrash reads the word differently, not Ami, my people or my nation, but rather comfort her, imi. Ayin bechirik bimkoim patach shepirusho imadi. The Medrash reads the word with me, putting a chirik under the ayin instead of the patach. So instead of reading it ami, my people, we read it imi, with me. Ein ro'ui leilech elo ani ba'atzmi. It is not befitting to go anyone other than me myself, says Hashem. In other words, I tried sending the Avos and the Nevi'im to comfort the Jewish people, and they were not comforted. So then Hashem responds with a quote from our Haftarah, which is Nachamu, Nachamu, Imi, with me. And on that, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach points out in footnote 40, Val Pizi Yeshloimer Shebe Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, that actually, in these opening words, in the first week of the 7 weeks of comfort, this week, all the 7 weeks of comfort are actually included. For it's known, the explanation of the order of these 7 weeks of comfort, the way the Haftaras go. Shebitchila, that at first, initially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emer LeNeviim, Nachmu, Nachmu Ami. The first thing is, this is how we're reading one after the next. First thing is, Hashem says to the prophets, go comfort my people. Nachmu, Nachmu Ami, Yoimar Elokeichem, meaning it's Hashem speaking to the prophets, and he says, comfort, oh comfort my people. Ulach Hashem Knesset Yisrael Meshiva, and after the Jewish people respond, and then we go on to the next haftarah of the following week, next week, which is Ekev. The opening words, Vateimer Tzion Azavani Hashem. And Tzion will say, Hashem has abandoned me. Meaning, Eini mispayeses minucham asanaviyim. I, says Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, am not being comforted. I'm not being appeased by the comforting of the prophets. So then, this is the part where the Nevi'im come back and they say to Hashem, Hine Knesset Yisrael lo nispaisa batanchumin shelonu. Behold, the Jewish people, she was not appeased by our comforting. And then comes the next one, Parsha Sere'eh, Ani aseyara lo nuchama. That the poor, afflicted, storm-tossed one was not comforted. Azai then, Choyzer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Voimer, Hashem then responds and says, and this is the next week's Haftarah of Shoiftim. And then Hashem responds and says, Anoichi, Anoichi Hu Menachemchem V'chulei. It's me, I, and again repeating it, it's me who comforts you. In other words, no more prophets. Not through the prophets, not through anyone else, but Hashem himself. V'inyan zeh, and this idea, namely, ha'nechama al-di ha-kadosh baruch hu, shebehemshich v'siyum ha-shivat nechemta, the comfort coming from Hashem himself at the conclusion of the 7 weeks of comfort, merumas b'haftarah harishayna, is actually already hinted to in the very first haftarah of this week. Nachmu, nachmu, ami, al-tikrei ami, elo'imi. As we just said, the Medrash interprets and says that Hashem says, come with me, tells the Avos and the Nevi'im. Hainu shanechama iloi rak al yidei Nevi'im, meaning that the nechama is not merely through the prophets, elagam b'yachad im HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmoi, but also together with Hashem himself. And on the asterisk on that, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach points out from Leira Teira of the Tzemach Tzedek, that the two times of Nachamu actually corresponds to the two times of Anoichi, so it really fits well with this Midrashic interpretation. That Nachmu, Nachmu, Hashem says, is Anoichi, Anoichi, Hashem himself. Back to the Sicha itself. The Yesh Loimar, that we can say, She'inyan ze merumas gam bekefil de Nachmu, Nachmu. That this idea, that it's Hashem himself who's going to comfort the Jews, is actually hinted to in the double expression of Nachmu. That this repetition, the double language, is showing us the infinity aspect of the comfort. Because the comfort is, after all, coming through Hashem himself, which he is the true and absolute infinity. Now to explain this in more detail. This idea of infinity, of limitlessness, in the double language of Nachmu, Nachmu, Einoi Sheilel Chas V'Sholim HaMailis HaPratiyos Shebaifani HaGiula, is not, Chas V'Sholim, negating the particular and specific advantages that there are in the various different types of Giula. It's just that all of these particular milos, whether it's pokait pokadati or tzemach yitzmach or what lech lecha, whatever it may be, all of the specific details are coming now as an extension and their details from the absolute and the true bligvul of the redemption. So from amongst the interpretations of what it means over here, this double language, and we're saying it's nechama b'chiflaim, a double comfort, we said. Shekefal ha-nechama hu, al-bayis rishon, val-bayis sheni, kanal sif aleph. That the double language is because we're being comforted by the redemption on the third Beis HaMikdash, we're being comforted for two things. For the first Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, and for the second one. V'tzarich lehavin, now we need to understand. Kiven sha-nechama hi, Leirak divrei pius v'chayetze bazeh. This comfort is not just merely words of appeasement or the like. El al yedeze shebeis hamikdash nivne mechadash. But it's actually through the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, being rebuilt from anew. So that being the case, lemainaf gemina shenechama zu al yedei binyan Beis HaMikdash, hi al shnei churbanin sheloise Beis HaMikdash. What's really the difference? What practical difference is there that this particular comfort through the building of the Beis HaMikdash is for the two destructions? The fact is, now we have the Beis HaMikdash, and that's all that counts. We have the one and only and eternal Beis HaMikdash. So what's really the difference that that's comforting us for the destruction of the first and for the second? V'azbara bazeh. The explanation of this is as follows. Shebayis rishon uvayis sheni, the two Batei Mikdashos, respectively, first and second, hein beis oifanim dargos beveis hamikdash. There are two different types. There are two different levels within Beis HaMikdash. V'yesh bazeh ma she'en bazeh. And each one has a superior quality. It has an advantage over the other. And now we explain. Hamayla d'bayis rishon. What's the advantage of the first Beis HaMikdash? Bisgalus elikus mitzad ha'elyon. The godliness that's being revealed, the level, the intensity, the godly level that's being revealed, in other words, from the one above, coming from the perspective of Hashem. Shehaya b'gilu yalikus b'darga nailis yaser me'asher b'vayis sheni. There was a higher level of godliness in the first Beis HaMikdash, more so than in the second. Clearly, kevin she'b'vayis sheni chasru he'dvarim. Because in the second Beis HaMikdash, five things were missing, five things were lacking that they didn't have in the second Beis HaMikdash that they did have in the first. And as it's referenced in footnote 43, the Gemara in Yuma Chaf Aleph Beis 21b, and it says that the five things that you were missing in the second Beis HaMikdash was the Aron, Kapoiris, Kruvim, so that's all one, everything associated with the Holy Ark. Eish, fire, Shechina, Ruach HaKodesh, and the Urim V'Tumim, that they did not work as they did in the first Beis HaMikdash. So they're lacking five things. U'bifrat ha'aroin mokeim menuchas ha'shechina, and particularly the first of the five that was missing was the Aroin, the Holy Ark. It was not there in the Holy of Holies in the second Beis HaMikdash. And that is the place of the resting of the Shechina, is because the Ark is there, the Aroin. So as far as the godly level is concerned, the first Beis HaMikdash was certainly superior to the first, to the second. V'amayla d'bayis sheni, and what's the advantage, the superiority of the second Beis HaMikdash over the first? B'kviyusei ba'olam, in its establishment, in its placement in the world, mitzad ha'tachtoin, coming from the perspective of the created entity of the world, it was greater than the first Beis HaMikdash in both size as well as in years. In other words, in time and in space. Gadlus b'makom binyan, it was actually a bigger building. So that's more in space. So in space, which is one of the dimensions which defines this world, tachtoin, the lowly world, so it was more makom. Uvizman shanim. And the other dimension, which is of course connected to space, is time. And again, that's a dimension of the tachtoin, of this lowly world, where we are after the creation of time and space. So in time it also lasted longer. Gidrei ha'olam. It stood for a longer period of time. So to sum it up, the first Beis HaMikdash was greater, mitzad ha'elyon, from the godly point of view, so to say. And the second Beis HaMikdash was greater from the worldly point of view, so to say. V'zeu apirish de nachmu nachmu nechama b'chiflayim. And this is the meaning of the double language of a doubled comfort. Al bayis rishen val bayis sheni, for the first and the second Pesach Hamikdash. Meaning, shebeis Hamikdash ashlishi, that the third temple, yiegam bayis mishulosh, will also be a threefold, a triple edifice. Sheyu boy amaylois de bayis rishen u de bayis sheni betachlis ashlemus. It's going to have in it all of the advantages of the first as well as the second in a most absolute, complete, perfect way. It'll have the highest level of godliness, at least as great as it was in the first Beis HaMikdash. And it will be in this physical world, in time and space, in literally an eternal way. And then it'll have what's unique to the third, and that is to fuse the two together, that they coexist. That's what three is all about. In other words, the first Beis HaMikdash was a greater godly level. Second Beis HaMikdash was, as far as the Tachton is concerned, the worldly perspective of time and space was greater. The third Beis HaMikdash will fuse the two together, but it'll be in an absolute way and in a perfect way. It'll be the highest level of godliness, and it will not only be for a long time or for a longer time or for the longest time, but it'll literally be eternal within time. And then, of course, all of this fused together. So we actually lose nothing. The third Beis HaMikdash has all of the advantages, any way you look at it. The kivan shebeis leifane hanecham al bayis rishon val bayis sheni merumazim bakefel de nachmu nachmu. Now, since both of these types of comfort, for the loss of the first, which we're going to gain, and for the loss of the second, which we shall gain, are alluded to and hinted to in the double language of nachmu nachmu shebeis ateves shavis mamish, that both of these words, as we said, are exactly identical. The same exact word is being repeated. Sheuinin abligvul amitosoi kanal siftalid. That's the idea of the true, the absolutely true concept of infinity, of bligvul. Unlike when the word is slightly altered when it's being repeated. So that being the case, that we're hinting to the comfort of the first as well as the second, which each one was different, by repeating the exact same word. Yeshloimar shegam kefil anecham al bayis rishon val bayis sheni oifanim sheni beveis hamikdash. So we can now say that this double comfort for the first and the second Beis HaMikdash, which were two different types of Beis HaMikdash, as we said, uboifen shel bli gvul amitasoi, is in a manner of being truly and absolutely bli gvul, beyond limitation. Hainu, meaning shenyonish lebeis hamikdash hashlishi hu bli gvul, that the theme, the idea of the third Beis HaMikdash is, in the most real, literal sense, bli gvul, infinite, beyond limitation. Umitzad heder hagbala, and because it is lacking limitation, it has absolutely no limitation. Yesh b'yashleimus techol oifanim oefsherim. So it contains in it, and only it contains in it, all of the possible perfections. Mitzad ha'elyoin, umitzad tatachtoin, umitzad shneim yachad. It has the perfection of Elyon, which was the first Beis HaMikdash. It has the perfection of Tachtoin, which was the second Beis HaMikdash. And then it has the fusion of the two of them together. And every one of them in a way of true and absolute and real bli gvul. In footnote 46, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach points out the words of the Medrash, that this double expression of Nachmu Nachmu includes in it ribu inyonim, many things. Comforted Elyonim, comfort tachtoinim, comfort the living, comfort the dead, comfort in this world, comfort in the world to come, comfort for the 10 tribes, comfort for the tribe of Yehud and Binyamin. In other words, everything on all levels, there's all perfection. Because normally, we would say that every different type of service of Hashem, in one way or another, has an advantage over another. Here, we're talking about the Geula, which is absolute and perfect, and therefore the third Beis HaMikdash will be lacking nothing, so we will have all of the perfections in the most complete and absolute and perfect way. Al pi zeh, yesh levar gam hakesher v'hashaychus Now, based on this, we can explain the connection that Nachmu, this Haftarah, with this above-mentioned theme, has to the Parsha. For as you recall, in the beginning of the Sicha, we said that each Haftarah is connected to that Parsha, and they are the same theme. And we even asked that seemingly Vaschanan is kind of the opposite of Nachmu. Nachmu is the comfort of the redemption and getting the third Beis HaMikdash. Vaschanan in the Parsha, it's about Moshe not being allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now we can understand the connection, though. From amongst the main themes of this Parsha of Vaschanan, HaKeifel Daseres HaDibrois, is the repetition, the double of Daseres HaDibrois, commonly translated as the Ten Commandments. I don't know if that's an accurate translation, because Dibrois means sayings or utterances, but they're commonly known as the Ten Commandments, so that's what we'll refer to them as. Now that is the highlight of Parshas Vaeschanan, the Aseres HaDibrois. Now as we know, they were originally said, Sha'af Shenemru B'Parshas Yisroi. Originally they were said by Hashem back in the Parsha of Yisroi. Chazru V'Nechbalu B'Parshas Vaeschanan, Kol Prote Yo'inyonim D'Aseres HaDibrois. Yet, they are repeated, Nechbalu, all the details of the Ten Commandments here in Vaeschanan. And we know that the Aseres HaDibrois include in them everything of the entire Torah. Kefil Shaveh Bichlolus. And again, this repetition of the Ten Commandments here in Vaeschanan, repeating that which it says in Yisroi, is basically, generally speaking, identical repetition, such as Nachmu Nachmu. Now we're saying Bichlolus in general, because obviously there are certain words, there are some, so to say, small differences, which the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach points out in footnote 49. Just certain differences. Milfat shinuim achodim. Individual differences. K'moy, shomer. In our parsha it says shomer by Shabbos. Bimkoim zocher. In place of the word zocher of Parshas Yisroi. Now we know sheshneim b'dibur echad uvetevachas nemru v'shmiachas nishmu. They were said simultaneously. Hashem said them together and they were heard together. And likewise, if you count the words of the Aseres HaDibrois in Yisroi, and then you go word for word and count the words here in Vaeschanan, there are 17 added words here in Vaeschanan. Yud Zayin Teves Yiseres Kiminyan Toiv. And the Baal HaTurim says that 17 is the gematria of the word Toiv. Good. So it's a positive thing. Yesh Loimar says the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach Shemitzad Heder Agbola Mudgeshes Bekeifel Daseres HaDibrois Nitesef Shleimus Toiv Gam Beprat Yonim. Because the repetition here is in a way of no limitation, it's absolute bligvul, because that's what true repetition is. If it's the same word being repeated in an identical fashion, it's just repetition, Nachmu Nachmu. That brings out the true bligvul. So same thing over here, it's really the Aseres HaDibrois being repeated in an identical fashion. But then that adds element of perfection, of good to it, and that's why it comes out that there are, in fact, 17 extra words, 17 additional words. The point, though, is that basically speaking, the Aseres HaDibrois are repeated in an identical fashion as they are in Yisroi, which is an identical kefel, such as Nachmu Nachmu. Ubir Ha'inyan, the explanation is as follows. מהחילוק שבין עשרת הדיברות שבפרשת ישראל לעשרת הדיברות שבפרשת וסחנון. Amongst the differences between the עשרת הדיברות as they appear in Yisroi and the עשרת הדיברות as they appear in וסחנון. על דרך ובדוגמס החילוק שבין לוחס ראשונות שבני ישראל היו בדרגס צדיקים ולוחס שניות שבני ישראל היו בדרגס בעלי תשובה. Along the same lines, just similar, it's not exactly the same idea. That's why there's an emphasis here on the words al derech uvedugmas, similar to the idea of the difference between the first tablets and the second ones. The first tablets, the Jewish people were on the level of being absolute tzaddikim, no blemish, no sin. That was the first tablets that we were given. The second tablets, though, after Moshe smashed the first ones, so the Bnei Yisrael were then on the level of Baalei Tshuva. Now, interesting to note in footnote 51, and to take note from the opinions that
See, one could ask, what did the tablets say? Hashem said, Taser Sadibrois in Parshas Yisroi. The ones in Vaschan and Moshe is repeating. So one could suggest that Moshe was saying it basically word for word the way Hashem said it 40 years earlier, except for the 17 extra words that he's adding for some reason. Now, Zohar and Shomer, Hashem said both. In Parshas Yisroi, Hashem told Moshe to write the word Zohar. Here in Parshas Vaschanon, Moshe is writing the word Shomer. But you ever wonder, what does it actually say on the tablets, on the luchos of stone, what was chiseled out there? Which words? Did it say Zohar or did it say Shomer? Did it have the 17 words that Moshe is saying? Or is it without those words the way they are in Yisroi? So there are some opinions that the nusach of the Aseres HaDibrois of Parshas Yisroi was on the first tablets. In other words, on the first tablets, it only said Zohar. It didn't say Shomer. Hashem said Zohar v'Shomer, but what was engraved on the luchos was Zohar. And likewise, whatever other differences there are without the 17 words. V'anusach, the Aseres HaDibrois of our Parsha, was written on the second luchos, meaning on the second set of luchos that were not smashed, it says the word Shomer by Shabbos, not the word Zohar, plus the additional 17 words. That really adds to the explanation that we're going to give now, that we're explaining the difference between the Aseres HaDibrois of Yisroi and the Aseres HaDibrois here in Vaschanon, similar to the difference between the first Luchas and the second Luchas. Shari Aseres HaDibrois Shebeparshasenu, for the Aseres HaDibrois in our Parsha in Vaschanon, Boim Behemshech, their coming is a continuation, Le V'chelik Mei Divrei Ateichacha B'meishel Ivnei Yisroel. They're part of, and they're a continuation to, the words of rebuke of Moshe to the Bnei Yisrael. The book of Dvarim, in general, and Vaschanon as well, is Moshe Rabbeinu chastising, rebuking the Jewish people. So that's how the Aseres HaDibrois come in. It's all part of that story, part of the repeat, part of Moshe's sermon, if you will. And what's the point of chastising them? To bring them to do teshuva, to return to Hashem. Shekshurim luchos shniyos, which of course is associated with the second tablets, which, as we said, the Jewish people were then on the level of Bali Tshuva. Uvesignin acher ktsas, or to say this in a little bit of a different style. Aseres HaDibrois shebeparshas Yisroi, ikaram mitzad ha'elyon. The Aseres HaDibrois, as they appear in Parshas Yisroi, they are primarily from above. That's the way it is from the perspective of Hashem, the giver of the Aseres HaDibrois, the commander. The Aseres HaDibrois, from the Parshas Vaschanon, ikaram mitzad ha'tachton. And the Aseres HaDibrois, as they appear here in Parshas Vaschanon, are primarily the way they are from the perspective of the lower one, namely of us, the recipients. And based on that, in footnote 52, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach goes through explaining all the various nuances and the differences between the Aseres HaDibrois as they appear in Yisroi to as they appear in Vaschanon. And in general, the whole story of how the Aseres HaDibrois appear in Yisroi, with the whole story of the revelation of at Sinai, and how here in Vaschanon, how it appears, and that all comes out, all the psukim, it's a whole long footnote, which explains the idea of, in Yisroi, it's primarily from Hashem's perspective, and in Vaschanon, it's primarily from our perspective, the Jewish people, the Tachtoin. Aval, kiven shebeparshas Vaschanon, loy nizker klaloin in de shviras aluchais, veluchais shniyois, kim beparshas ekev shalachrize. However, since here in Parshas Vaschanon, it doesn't mention at all the smashing of the tablets of the first luchais, and it doesn't mention that Moshe made the second luchos. It doesn't tell us anything about two sets of luchos. It's only in the following parsha of Vaschanon where it speaks about the smashing of the luchos. Av shemitzat seder advarim masim yoyseh sheprote yoinyonim deshvira sa luchos yovoyu behemshich lichlolus asipur demay medar Sinai. Even though, as far as the order, the chronological order of the story goes, it seems that it would make more sense and would be more befitting to speak about the smashing of the luchos, of the first luchos. They should come right after he speaks about the revelation at Sinai,
Ad l'nesinas haluchos sheb'parshas Vaschanon. Until then, it comes to the giving of the luchos of Parshas Vaschanon, and it doesn't do that. Moshe Rabbeinu does not speak in that order, although it seems to make more sense that way. Yesh loymar, we can say shakefel daseres hadibris b'parshas Vaschanon, that the repetition of the Aseres HaDibreis in Parshas Vaschanon madgish be'ikar ablik vul d'teira is emphasizing primarily, again, this element, this aspect, this idea of blik vul, infinity, the way it appears in Teira. Because again, it's repetition, it's kiflayim, it's kefel. When something is doubled, that's geula. Especially if it's doubled in an identical way, which, as we're saying, basically, it is being doubled in an identical way. The same Aseres HaDibreis of Yisroi are repeated here in Vaschanon, so that's bringing out the concept of the bli gvul, the infinity within Torah. And this is the connection that Parshas Vaschanon has to the repetition, to the doubling, associated with the true and complete redemption. Which is, of course, the theme and the content of the opening words of the Haftarah, Nachmu Nachmu, the double expression, because it's a Nechama B'Kiflaim, it's a double comfort. For the true and the absolute and real true and complete perfect B'Likvul, infinite level of Torah will be revealed in the future to come in the redemption, when then what will become revealed is Torah Chadasha that Me'iti Teitze. You will see in footnote 55, the reference is Yeshaya Nun Aleph Talit. It's Yeshaya 51, Pasuk 4, and Vayikra Rabba, which is interesting. It's actually a pasuk which is in between two of the Haftarahs of the Shiva de Nechemta. It's in between the Haftarah for Akev and the Haftarah for Sheftim. The pasuk reads, Ki Teira Me'iti Teitze. For Teira, from within me, will come forth. The Medrash Rabbah explains, though, and adds a word by way of interpretation, the word Chadasha. That's the famous Medrash, which asks, with regards to the Livyasan and the Shar Habar, how can you shecht the ox with the fin of a fish? The Mishnah says that's not proper shechita. So the Medrash says that there will be going to be chidush teira. And it quotes this pasuk and adds the word chadasha. Not only teira meititeitze, but what does that mean? That in the future to come, teira chadasha meititeitze. New teira, meaning a new dimension, novel ideas, which until the time of the Geula are absolutely and completely hidden in Torah and cannot be revealed. Therefore, it's as if it's a new Torah. And of course, it was included in the Torah that was given at Sinai, and it was already given, and it's in the Torah. But because it cannot be revealed until then, so it's Torah Chadasha. And that Torah Chadasha is the true Bli Gvul. Until we get to that, the infinite element of Torah that we have now is only a relative infinity. But the absolute and the true Bli Gvul infinity of Torah is only when we're going to get to the Torah Chadasha, that Me'iti Teitze. Footnote 56, and to take note that the Riboy of Torah, the great amount of Torah the way we have it today, as the Medrash refers to and quotes that verse of Kiflayim Litushia, that redoubled wisdom of Torah was added by the Luchos Shniyos, because Hashem is comforting Moshe actually over there and telling him not to feel bad, because had the first Luchos not been smashed and had our Torah been based on the first Luchos, so we would not have a whole slew of Torah the way we have it now. But now we have Midrashim, Halacha, Agadis, a whole list of things, and that's all because of the Luchos Shniyos. So that is that the infinity of Torah is because we got the second set, Kiflayim. However, again, that's only Bli Gvul relative to how it would have been. But the Ribuy, in a way of Bli Gvul Amitasoy Bishlei Musoy, the true and the complete Bli Gvul is going to be by the Torah Chadasha of the future to come. Ubifratius Yoiser, and in more detail, Shelo Asid Lavoy, Yiyu Beiz Amayloiz Deluches Rishoynois, mitzada elyon, udeluches shniyos mitzada tachtoin. In the future to come, in the time of the redemption, we will have both superior qualities. On the one hand, the advantage of the first luchos, the first tablets, meaning from the perspective of Hashem, and of the second tablets, meaning from the perspective of us. Udishneim yachad, and of the two together. So we're going to have everything. Because as we said, the first luchos have a definite advantage over the second. And the second luchos have a definite advantage over the first. And we're going to have both advantages together. Like we explained about the Beis HaMikdash. That the third will be the advantage of the first and the second, and the way they're fused together. We can say that this is actually hinted to in the exact language, the precision of the words used over here. What does the pasuk say? That this new dimension of Teira, me'iti, from within me, teitze will come out, will come forth. Me'iti daika, me'akadosh baruch hu atzmoi, from me, meaning from Hashem himself, that's similar to the first luchais. Ume'iti teitze daika, and from me it shall come out, she'teitze min hashamayim, it will come out from heaven, me'iti. It won't remain in a state of E.T., of with me, with Hashem himself. And it will come down to this world, to earth, in the understanding and the comprehension of the intellect of man. In other words, when we speak about the advantage of the second luchais, of the tachtoin, of our perspective, so that means that it's able to be understood and grasped. That's something very special, because it becomes more internal. Whereas the disadvantage, so to say, of the first luchais is that it's too high for us to internalize and to appreciate. Now, of course, the advantage of the first luchais, of the first tablets, is that it's so high that it's the essence of Hashem himself, it's his knowledge. So that's great. It's a higher level. And what we're going to have is both of those advantages together. That which is impossible to understand, that which is truly beyond limitation, that which is truly infinite, which the human mind can't grasp, that which is the essence of Hashem, will be grasped in the human mind. We will have that, understand it, and grasp it, and internalize it. Ela shein kan ischalkus teifanim shenim bateira. What we're going to have by the Teirah Chadasha, that Me'iti Teitze, is there won't be any distinctions. There won't be two different approaches and different ways within Teirah. Ki'im, but rather, Shemitzad Heder Agbala, because there's absolutely no limitations here. Yesh Nashleimus B'chol Eifanim O'Efshirim, Kanal Sifei. So you have the perfection in all possible ways, from all standpoints, every single way you look at it, from every vantage point, you have its superior quality will be realized and actualized. The Yeshloimer, we can say, Sheboifin Kazeh, that in such a fashion, Yegama Yichud Nifla, there will also be this wondrous union. The Rebbe Melech HaMashiach now is making a reference and actually going to be quoting from Tanya, Perek Hei, chapter 5, where the Alter Rebbe in that Perek explains what's accomplished when a Jew studies Torah and has Torah in his mind and envelops Torah and Torah envelops him, that then we're going to have this yichud nifla, this wonderful union, shaseichel teifes es hamuskol umakifoy besichloi chulei, the gamaseichel melubash bamuskol, when an intellect conceives and comprehends a concept with its intellectual faculties, and also the mind, for its part, is also closed in the concept. Behalimud, the Teirah Chadasha Miti Teitzei. When we're going to be studying, when we learn this Teirah Chadasha, which will come forth, come out from Hashem himself. Meaning, Shloitia is Chalkus de Bezefanim. At that point, there won't be a distinction of two different approaches, of two ways. Namely, milamayla lamata, from above downward. That's one way of approaching Torah. That's one way we relate to Torah study, from above downward. As the verse in Tehillim states, Ta'an l'sheini imrasecha. That's in Tehillim Kuf Yutes, Pasuk Kuf Ayin Beis, chapter 119, verse 172. My tongue will answer your word, your saying, Ta'an. Sha'adam oine achar amirasa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the person is answering after its repetition, after the word, after the saying of Hashem. That's one approach to learning Torah. That I am, so to say, parroting the words of Hashem. I'm repeating after Him. And then we have the other approach, the opposite, umilamata lamaila, from down upward. As it says in Midrashim, kola keire v'sheine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keire v'sheine k'negdoi. Whoever studies Torah, whether he's learning the Mikra, the written word, or whether he's learning Mishnah, the oral Torah, Hashem then is doing the same and repeating His words opposite him. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keire v'sheine achar limudei shel ha'adam, that Hashem is saying those words of Torah, whether it's the written or the oral, after the person. So we have two opposite approaches. One is that I am repeating the words of Hashem, meaning He says it first. And two, that Hashem is repeating it after me. And these are both true ways, and they're both two different ways, the way that one studies Torah. When we're going to come to the Torah Chadash Amiti Teitze, we won't have these two distinctions anymore. Ki'im, but rather, Boifin Shal Bli Gvul. It'll be in a way of no limitation. Infinite, beyond any borders, beyond any limitations. Umitzad Heder Hagbala. And because there is a lack of any limitation, Yeshno Gam Ashleimus B'Choloi Fanim Ha'Efsharim. So then we also have the completion and the perfection in all possible manners. So again, we're lacking nothing. It's not like, well, we won't have the advantage of milamayla lamata, of the higher form. No, we will have that. Also, we won't have the advantage of milamata lamayla, of doing it from down upwards, that we're the ones who are saying it first. On the contrary, we're going to have all the milas, all perfections fused together, without any distinctions. It'll be in the most absolute, perfect, complete way, with all of the milas. Along the same lines, we can explain with regards to the request of Moshe to go into the land of Eretz Yisrael, which is the beginning of Parshas Vaschanon. Amongst the reasons for why the request of Moshe to enter the land was not fulfilled. As the verse says, and Hashem said to me, you shall not pass over this Jordan River, but rather command Yehoshua, for he will be the one to inherit. For he will bring them to inherit the land. Although entering the land with Moshe Rabbeinu had it only been such, if he would have been the one to lead us into the land, it would have been a much more superior and a much greater fashion of going into the land than the way that it actually was through Yeshua. For as we said, it would have been Geula Nitzchis Shein Acharei HaGalus. It would have been an eternal redemption where there wouldn't be and there couldn't be an exile to follow. Had it only been that Moshe would have originally brought the Jewish people into the land of Eretz Yisrael. The reason why that didn't happen, even though that seems to be perfect, is because there is also an advantage to us entering the land through Yeshua. And of course, we're going to explain that. But that's why it had to be so we can have Yeshua as well, so that ultimately we could have all of the milas, all perfection, to go into the land through Moshe and Yeshua. So long as there's something lacking with Moshe bringing us into the land of Eretz Yisrael, which we didn't explain yet, obviously that needs to be explained. But as long as something would be lacking, we wouldn't have the Maila of coming in with Yeshua, we wouldn't have that great advantage, then we're lacking something, so it's not perfect. The explanation in this is as follows. The conquest and the division of the land, dividing up the land to all the tribes and everybody through Yeshua, that came from the vantage point, from the perspective of the Tachtoin, of us, of the lower, of the lowly being, the created entity. As is emphasized, in the form, in the fashion that it took on. It took a long time to conquer the land and to divide it up. Sheva shekavshu v'sheva shechalku. Took 7 years to conquer the land, and then another 7 years to divide up the land. V'gam la'achreze. And also after that, after those 14 years, v'afil la'achre meis Yeshua, and even after the passing of Yeshua, nisharu chalokim me'eretz Yisrael sh'adayim l'nich b'shu. There were still parts of Eretz Yisrael that were not yet conquered. As is stated in the beginning of the book of Shoftim, the first few psukim in the book of Judges, it says, "Vayi achrei meis Yeshua," and it came to pass after the death of Yeshua, "Vayi shalu b'nei Yisrael b'Hashem leimor," and the b'nei Yisrael asked Hashem, saying, "Miyal lanu elaknaimi lilachim boy," who should go up for us first against the Kanani? They wanted to wage a war. And Hashem said, Yehuda should go up. Go up with me for my portion, and let us wage war against the Kanani. Then I too will go with you for your portion. And that is because the process of cleansing, of elevating, purification process of the tachtoin, of the lowly, is a service which is very prolonged and it takes a tremendous amount of time, etc. In other words, going into Eretz Yisrael through Yeshua, with Yeshua leading us into Eretz Yisrael, was all about doing what we had to do from the perspective and from the end of the Tachtoin, from the creation's being. V'oid v'iker. And furthermore, and this is a primary point, shegam la'achar shleimus kibush v'chalukas ha'aretz b'pam rishena, that also, even after the completion of the conquest of the land and the division, dividing up the land the first time, after all that was complete, Golu Yisrael me'Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish people were exiled from the land of Eretz Yisrael. V'lo yirak Golus Bavel l'meshach 70 shana, and not only the exile to Bavel, the land of Babylon, for 70 years, Elogam Golu Yisrael achreze, but also the subsequent exiles which followed, ad legolos ha'achron, up until this final golos, shenimshach karev l'alpayim shana, which is continuing close to 2,000 years already. Shakavana bazeh, what is the purpose? What is the goal of all this? Hikedei levarer anitzutzei shebagolos, is in order to purify, in order to redeem the holy sparks, the sparks of godliness, which are in exile, which are trapped in exile. K'maymer Azal, like the statement of our sages of blessed memory, Lo higla kodesh baruch es Yisrael levein ha'umois, el k'dei she'itesu aleim geirim. The Gemara says that the only reason why Hashem exiled the Jewish people amongst the nations of the world is in order that geirim should be added onto them. generally translated as converts. Dikoi, that the way the Alter Rebbe explained this in a number of places, what does this mean? Dikoi, this is referring al nitzutzei sakdusha shemevarim b'nei Yisrael bagalus. This is talking about the sparks, the holy sparks of godliness that the Jewish people are elevating, are separating through being in exile. That's the meaning of geirim, because we know that we do not proselytize, and we certainly do not encourage non-Jews to become Jewish. So what it means is, according to the Alter Rebbe, is the holy sparks, that we're trying to redeem the sparks that are found all over in the entire world and elevate them. Or as the known expression, to transform and make from outside of Eretz Yisrael the sanctity and the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. This is, of course, a reference to the story where there was a Jew who came to the Tzemach Tzedek. This individual had a tremendous longing to move to Eretz Yisrael, to the Holy Land, to be able to serve Hashem better, to study Torah there, to pray there, and to be closer to Hashem. After all, that is the Holy Land where every Jew belongs. So he wanted to go there, and he wanted to get the Tzemach Tzedek's approval and blessing. And the Tzemach Tzedek responded to him by telling him, why do you need to go there? Why do you have to travel to go to Eretz Yisrael? Instead of that, mach do Eretz Yisrael. Make from here, from your place and your location and your situation where you currently are, make that into Eretz Yisrael. And the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach speaks about that in a number of sichas at length, as he footnotes in 67, especially in the sicha of Parshas Pinchas, where the whole sicha is primarily really explaining that concept and what that directive means, and that we need to publicize that. So the whole purpose of why the Jewish people are sent into Galus is we have a job. There's a goal. There's an avodah. And that is birur hanitzutzos, to elevate the holy sparks. After and through, and now we quote from Tanya, which the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach quotes this countless times, from Tanya, the beginning of chapter 37, Lamed Zayin. Our actions and service throughout the duration of Galus, meaning to elevate and purify the Tachtoin, the lowest of the low. So by doing this, nichnasim la'aretz bigula amitis vashlema, we enter the land in the true and complete redemption. V'oz, and then tiaknisa la'aretz betachlis ashlemus bebeza mailois de Moshe udi Yeshua gam yachad. Then we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and at that point, when we enter into Eretz Yisrael, then in such a fashion, it will be in the absolute and complete perfect way with both advantages. The way it would have been through Moshe, which that of course is understood, and the way that it is through Yeshua, which also has its advantage. And it'll be fused together. On the one hand, it'll be an eternal redemption, which there cannot be an exile to follow, which that's the way it would have been through Moshe. And also it will come through the Tachtoin, the lowly of the low, from our end, from our perspective, which is the way that it was through Yeshua. And of course, each one of these has an advantage and a disadvantage. But when we're talking about the perfection of the future redemption through Mashiach, it will be in an absolute perfect way and will have only both, all, and fused together advantages. So from this is understood that in Parshas Voschanon, what's emphasized is the advantage of going into Eretz Yisrael in the most absolute, perfect way. That it wasn't through Moshe that we came into the land originally, so that we can also gain the advantage of going in through Yeshua, with Yeshua. And this advantage is going to be in a way of beyond any limitation. Nachmu, nachmu, nechama b'chiflaim. Again, which is the theme of the Haftarah, as we're speaking about the whole time. A double, which means truly infinite, comfort. Ka'amur, as we said. Shemitzad heder hagbala, that because there's absolutely no limitation, yesh nashleimus b'chol ha'ifanim b'chol ha'inyonim, there is the perfection in all fashions, in all matters. Uvepashtus, and to explain this in simple words, shaknisa la'aretz, that the entering into the land, kibush v'yerushas ha'aretz, and the conquering and the inheriting of the land, hitekef umiyad, is immediate. In other words, it won't take years as it originally did with Yeshua. Footnote 70. In the beginning of Parshas Kisavoy, which is amongst the Shiva de Nechemta, the 7 weeks of comfort, the verse says, Kisavoy al haaretz, for when you will come into the land, and then immediately, v'yarashta v'yashavta ba, you will immediately inherit it and dwell in it. Certainly we don't have to wait any 14 years. And then we even bring Bikurim, as the Pasuk says there, where you bring the first fruit to the Beis HaMikdash, is also immediate. Because what will be fulfilled then is one of the psukim, one of the, so to say, messianic prophecies in Amos Tes Yud Gimel. The prophet Amos, chapter 9, verse 13 states, V'nigash cheresh ba'keitzer, v'deirei chanovim goymer. The plowman will meet the reaper, and the one who presses the grapes will meet the one who's carrying the seeds to plant them. In other words, everything will grow so instantaneously quickly that everything will overlap, and the moment you plant something, you'll already be able to reap the benefits, etc. So we come to Eretz Yisrael, we immediately completely divide up the land, and we immediately settle there, and we immediately are able to bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash and all of that. Shleimus Bizman, that's perfection of time, that it all happens in an instant. And also, which part of Eretz Yisrael do we get? The entire land. Shleimus b'makom. That's perfection in space. Loirak Eretz Sheva Uma is not only the land of the seven nations, but also the land of these three nations, which makes it Eretz Eser Uma is the land of the ten nations. Uboifen shekol yeshveha aleha, and in a way that, as the pasuk says, excuse me, it's not a pasuk, as our chachamim say, that all of its inhabitants are on the land. In other words, you only have the jubilee year, in effect, the year of the yovel, when all the Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael. Shleimus benefesh. So that's perfection in soul. So we have time, space, and now soul, meaning people. Shekol b'nei Yisrael, that the entire Jewish people, everybody, footnote 73, including the tribe of Levi, because although they didn't get a share in the land, however, the Gemara in Bava Basra states that Eretz Yisrael in the future, in the times of Mashiach, will be divided up into 13 parts, not just 12. Koilagam kol b'nei Yisrael, shebechol adeiros shelifnei zeh, and we say all the Jewish people, we mean also all the Jews of all previous generations. And this, of course, as it says in footnote 74, brings out the advantage of kol yeshveh like we never had before. Even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, in the beginning of the first Beis HaMikdash, when every single Jew in the world at the time lived in Eretz Yisrael, but we didn't have all the Jews of all generations, and now we're going to have every single Jew of all generations, including all the previous ones. Yeshvim b'chol Eretz Yisrael kula, are sitting and dwelling in the entire land of Eretz Yisrael, boifen kavua v'nitzchi lo'ad u'le'el me'yelamim, in a eternal, established fashion forever and ever in all eternity. B'hamur li'il, she'b'shabbos nachmu, mudgash abli gvul, keifel she'b'gul amit yitzvah shleima. In the above mentioned, that on this Shabbos of Nachmu, what is emphasized is the infinity aspect, the limitless aspect, because it's doubled, of the true and complete redemption. But in addition to all of that, there's a unique, special point, a quality, a superior quality, which is emphasized particularly on the calendar year of this year. Shabbos Nachmu ba la'achri achana rabba de'erev Shabbos. The Shabbos Nachmu, which we spoke about until now, of how great and amazing and limitless the redemption is, and that's what Shabbos Nachmu is all about, comes after the great preparation of the eve of Shabbos, Friday, the day before Shabbos. For as we know, Misha Tarach Berev Shabbos Yechol B'Shabbos. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Gimel Seif Amad Aleph 3a that whoever troubles himself, whoever prepares on the eve of Shabbos on Friday, will have what to eat then on Shabbos. Same thing the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach always speaks about in a spiritual sense. Friday is always the preparation for Shabbos. And what was this Erev Shabbos? Shechol b'chamisha asar b'av. That this Erev Shabbos Nachamu was the 15th of Av. Uvehektem bir ha-shaychus t'chamisha asar b'av. Uvifrat k'shechol b'yem ha-shishi. L'gyul ha-mitis v'ashlema. But first, let us preface the explanation of the connection between the 15th of Av, and especially when it falls out on the sixth day of the week on Friday, to the true and complete redemption. Yem chamisha asar b'chodesh, the 15th of the month, shebeikai masir b'ashlamusa, that on the 15th of the Jewish month, it's always a full moon, the perfection, the full completeness of the moon. Sheremez al ashleimus b'nei Yisrael, and this is a hint, this alludes to the perfection and the completion of the Jewish people. Shemoinin l'levana v'doimin l'levana. For the Jewish people, our calendar is a lunar calendar, so we count according to the moon, and we are similar to the moon, which waxes and wanes, so to the Jewish people. V'asidim l'ischadish k'moisa, and as we say in the Kiddush Levana, that in the future to come, in the times of Mashiach, we will be renewed like the moon. B'gula mitis v'ashlema de David Malka Mashicha, which is going to happen in the true and complete redemption through David Malka Mashicha, Sheshayach l'levana sviras ha-malchus. And of course, David and Melech HaMashiach is associated with the moon because that is sviras ha-malchus. The moon is considered the sphere of Malchus, which is the final of all the spheres. And so too, David HaMelech and Mashiach is Malchus. That's the 15th of any given month. Chamish asar b'chedesh Menachem Av, Menachem lifnei Av. The 15th of this month of Menachem Av, and we specifically refer to it as Menachem before Av, Menachem meaning comforter. Shleimus achedesh shnikra shmei shel Mashiach. So the 15th is the completion, it's the fullness, it's the perfection of the month which is named after the name of Mashiach, Shemenachem Shmoi. For Mashiach's name is Menachem. Footnote 80 makes the references where it says so. In Gemara, Bavli, Yerushalmi, and Medrash Eicha. Vilei Dosoi, and his birth, Mazolei Goiver, which we know that on the birth of an individual, on their birthday, their mazol, their spiritual energy, is dominating. V'choydesh zeh, in this month, B'tisha B'av, on the ninth day of Av, that is the quote-unquote birthday of Mashiach, as referenced in footnote 82. Uchshemis malis halavana b'chamisha asar b'av. So then when the moon becomes full on the 15th of the month of Av, yoidim bevado'us, we know with absolute certainty shekvar neilad Mashiach, the Mashiach was already born, because you now know for sure that it's after Tisha B'av. Footnote 83, similar to what we find, one of the reasons why the 15th of Av is such a special Yom Tif, the Gemara gives a number of reasons. One of them is because that's the day that the Jews in the desert, who had to die out throughout the 40 years because of the sin of the spies, of the Meraglim, finally finished dying. And anyone who was left was from the younger generation that was going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now the truth is, the decree ended on Tisha B'av. For we know that at least according to some opinions, they would die on Tisha B'av annually, not throughout the year, but on Tisha B'av, the night of Tisha B'av, every year, they would all dig their graves, and they would go to sleep that night in the graves. And whoever woke up, crawled out of the grave, and basically knew that they had at least another year to live. And whoever didn't was already in the grave, and they just threw in the dirt and had them buried. And many thousands of Jews died like this every year on Tisha B'av. So many people went through this. Some people died the first Tisha B'av, some people the second and the third, and then you had some people that some 38 years every year they came out of the grave.
The last year, when the decree was already over, that Tisha B'Av, they went into their graves. And everyone came out alive. Lo and behold, no one had perished. So the decree was really over then. However, they were not certain that the decree had ended. For they thought, perhaps they miscalculated and maybe tonight is not Tisha B'Av. So again the next night, which in fact was the 10th of Av, they went into their graves again. And no one died. And then they thought, perhaps we're still mistaken. How many nights can they keep on making this mistake? The night of the 15th of Av, it's a full moon. By then it can't merely be the 9th. So then they realized that the decree is over. In other words, the 15th of Av reveals the positive aspect of the 9th of Av. So as far as we're concerned here, Moshiach's birth is the 9th of Av, Tisha B'Av. But when do you know for certain that Moshiach was born on the 9th of Av? When it's the 15th of Av and there's a full moon. It's the month which, according to the Mazalos, according to the constellations, it's known as the Mazal of Aryeh Lion, in which, as the Medrash says, the lion, which is reference to Hashem, as the verses state, will come and he will build in this month of Aryeh of Av, he will build Ariel, which is the Beis HaMikdash. I just want to quickly mention that when we're speaking about Tisha B'Av being the birth of Moshiach, so in a different sicha, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach explains this medrash that it doesn't mean literally that he was born and emerged from his mother's womb on that day. Because on the original Tisha B'Av of destruction is when we say Moshiach was born, which means that the potential for redemption happens immediately the moment after the destruction. But if in fact Mashiach was to come and redeem the Jewish people, he wouldn't be a newborn baby. For Mashiach has to grow up and he has to become an accomplished individual, at least if it's going to be in the way that the Rambam describes it, and he goes through various different stages. He's hoigeh b'Torah and oisk b'mitzvos. He's preoccupied in studying Torah and he's involved in doing mitzvahs and he's encouraging other Jewish people to do that, all the Jewish people in fact, and he's making campaigns. And he's doing this, that, and the other, and he becomes Bechezkas Moshiach, and so on and so forth. All of that takes time. Or presumably he's got to be, at the very least, Bar Mitzvah age, 13, if not quite older. So what it means is, tells us the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, the Leida and the Hisgalus. Just as physically and literally, birth means when the child who was beforehand inside his mother emerges out and becomes as a revealed individual. So too, when we speak about Mashiach, it means his revelation. He becomes revealed for all to see and identify on Tisha B'Av. And this happens every year. So it's not that a new Mashiach is born annually, but it's that each year a new level of revelation, a more intense level, a higher revelation of Mashiach that we never had before, actually takes place, not only potentially, in Mashiach. So it is Mazal Goyver, it is his birthday in that sense. And in the previous Sicha, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach brought down from the Mittler Rebbe, where he explains what it means spiritually that Tisha B'Av is the birth of Mashiach. And especially, particularly when the 15th of Menachem Av falls out on Friday, the sixth day of the week. This is the day which Adam Harishon, the first man, was created originally. Footnote 85, that Adam Harishon immediately made Hashem king over the entire world and all of creation, and he told everyone, come, let's bow down and prostrate ourselves to Hashem. And when is this going to be in its full, absolute, perfect way? This will, of course, only be by the Geula Amitis Vashlema, when Hashem will be absolutely and totally revealed as the King of the Universe. Sheniv Rabbeim Shishi, Kadei Shikones Yimtzo Hakel Muchen L'Suda Miyad. The reason why Adam was created on the sixth day of creation, our Chachamim tell us, is so that he should enter and find everything all prepared for the meal immediately. So Adam does not have to be there while Hashem is still making the world, but after the world is absolutely complete and finished with all details, then he creates Adam. And what does that mean? the Shorabar, the Yom Shekuli Shabbos Umenucha L'chaye Ho'ilamim. This is a hint. The sixth day is a hint to the Elef Hashishi, to the sixth millennium, in which everything is found and ready for the Se'uda, as Chazal say about Adam Arishon coming to the world. And the Se'uda that we're talking about is the great Se'uda of Mashiach, of the giant fish, the Leviathan, and the wild axe, the Shorabar, which will be on the day which will be all Shabbos and rest for life everlasting. As we say in the last Mishnah, Masechta Tamid, and as we say that as a prayer in the benching, grace after meal, at the Shabbos meals. The Yesh Loimar, Shebinyonim Elu, that in these ideas, namely Chamisha Asar B'Chaydesh, the 15th of the month, as we said, every 15th is special, Chamisha Asar B'Av, and especially the 15th of Av, Ukviyus Lebiyem Hashishi, and that it falls out to be on Friday, Mudgash Habli Gvul, Kefel Shebagul Amitis Vashlema. In all of these things is emphasized the element of the limitless, the infinity of the true and complete redemption, which is expressed in the true, in the complete and true perfection of all of these things coming together. And now we explain. In this idea of having a full moon, which is the 15th of any month, that the complete moon is through what? How does the moon appear to be full? It's because from our perspective, it's receiving the light of the sun in a perfect way. Until we're actually going to come in the future to come, in the times of Mashiach, to the absolute union of both superiorities of the sun as well as the moon. As the verse says, Yeshaya Lamed Chafav 30, verse 26, that in the times of Mashiach, the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun. And now the next thing which we spoke about, the 15th of this particular month of Menachem Av, Shaleidas Mashiach, that the birth of Mashiach is in the moment which is after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, specifically after the Churban. Kedisa b'Midrash Razal, as it states in the Midrashim of our sages of blessed memory, Shekshegoasa parosoi pamachas nechrav Beis HaMikdash. Load. Once, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Again, Shekishegoasa parosei pamachas nechrav Beis HaMikdash. This Arab said to this Jew who was plowing his field that you should stop plowing because when his cow lowed, and he told him, the Beis HaMikdash, your holy temple has been destroyed. Uchshegoasa parosei Pam habeis, and when this Jew's cow lowed a second time, Noilad Moshiyan v'Goyalon Shel Yisrael, the Redeemer of the Jewish people was born. The Savior and the Redeemer of the Jews was born. V'loy oid, and says the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, not only that, El Shagam L'Achri Shenasa Godol, but also after he becomes an adult, koilel ubimyuchad gadlus ruchnis. This includes, and especially, particularly, greatness, or so to say, adulthood, spiritually, as it says about Moshiach, mishich mayvamayla gavoya mikol ha'am. That's actually a pasuk about the Jewish king, and that is a description of Shaul Hamelech, King Saul. That's a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. Perek Tes Pasuk Beis 9:2. From his shoulders up, he was taller than any of the people. Kichol Pratei Dinei Melech, as all the details of the laws referring to a king. V'alachas Kama V'kama B'negel Melech HaMoshiach, and how much more so, certainly, with regards to the Messianic king, Melech HaMoshiach,
who is going to be, he is Melech v'Rav. He's a Melech king and a Rav, the Torah teacher. Nimshach ha-churban v'agolus meshech zman. The destruction and exile has been continuing for a long time. V'ad l'meshech zman achi aruch. So much so that it's a very, very long time. Shakavana bazeh, he, the intention of this is shetiyah shleimus hagi'ula mitzad ha'elyon u'mitzad ha'tachtoin u'mitzad shneim yachad. The purpose, the goal of why such a long, long galus is so that we can have the absolute complete perfection of the redemption, both from the aspect of the above, from the higher godly level, and from below, from the created entity, the lowest of the low, and from the fusion of the two together. Now, footnote 93 is extremely important for people that would have the question as to what does it mean that Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av, especially if you know that the birthday of Mashiach is a different day. But Chazal in these Midrashim, in the Yerushalmi, in the Medrash Eicha says it was Tisha B'Av. So I mentioned it briefly before. Let's see it inside now, 93. When we're saying that not only, because the Medrash says Mashiach is born, but the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach adds that he also is already after he's a gadol, he's already an adult or a great person. Umistaber yoyser loymar, and it makes more sense to say shegam ze nichlal benoylad Mashiach shel Yisrael, that his becoming great or being an adult is also included in the words that the Savior of the Jewish people was born. It doesn't mean that he actually emerged to the world, that he came out of his mother. Because in that state, the moment that he's actually literally physically born as an infant, coming, emerging from his mother's womb, he's not the savior of the Jewish people. And on that, there's an asterisk at the bottom. Even though you can say that in the future to come, an infant who is just born will be able to do all sorts of activities and do all sorts of things, just as it was in the days of the Mabul, according to the Medrash. So one can say that now we can't perceive how a newborn baby can be the Redeemer in such a state, but when we're talking about Mashiach at that time, perhaps we'll be able to have him as a Redeemer. At any rate, putting that aside, simply put, as a newborn child, he can't really be the Savior in that point. Elalis galus, what we mean over here is the revelation, dugmas leido kipshuto, which is similar to literally being born, this idea of becoming revealed, the Mashiach shel Yisrael, of the Savior of the Jewish people. Shekvar roi umuchan ligulis Yisrael bepeil mamish, that he's already fit and ready to redeem the Jewish people in actuality. And then the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach references over here the Sefer Netzach Yisrael of the Maharal Miprag and the Sefer Yeshua's Mashiach of the Barbanel. The Maharal in Sefer Netzach Yisrael, he states clearly that when it says the Leda, the birth of Mashiach, it doesn't mean mamish physically, that he was born. But rather it means that the koyach, the etzim koyach of Mashiach, meaning that he's found in the world, which is exactly what we're saying. And the Abarbanel, he explains that right after the Churban, right after the destruction, so in heaven there was already the thought of Hashem to make the Redeemer. But not that he was actually born, but just that Hashem had already planned that Mashiach at that point is going to be born when it's time for him to be born, so that he can then become the Redeemer. At any rate, we're saying that it is the birth of Mashiach, and when we say birth, we don't mean literally, but Mashiach could be born, for example, let's just pick a random date, the 11th of Nisan. And it's not even the same year as the birth of Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av means the revelation of Mashiach. And then we said that being that it's Friday, everything is ready and prepared for the meal. Sheshleimus ha-seuda d'yeim shekulei Shabbos, that the completion of this meal for the day which is one long Shabbos, it's all Shabbos, al yedei achana b'yemashishi, through the preparation for this on the eve of Shabbos, on the sixth day, Friday, with all the details, is again done because of this perfection of the B'ligvul, beyond limitation. As is also emphasized in the double language, in the twice, where it says the word Toiv on Friday. And especially it says in footnote 97 that the second time it says Toiv Ma'oid, Ma'oid, very good. And we know again that the true idea of Ma'oid is B'ligvul, because so long as you can increase and add more, then ultimately it's not truly Ma'oid. But just like Ribui, to increase means that there's no room for any further increase because it's infinite, so to Ma'oid means ultimately B'ligvul. And on Friday, it's the second time where it says Toiv twice. First is on the third day, Tuesday, and then on Friday. And we can add, Shehoinim de B'ligvul, that this idea of infinity, of being limitless, Mudgash Kam Ba'Avodas Ha'Adam, is also emphasized in the service of man, in our serving Hashem. Hachel mechamishasar be'av, beginning with the 15th of Av. Demikan v'eilach demoisif yoisif. For our Chachamim tell us at the end of the Gemara and Tractate of Tainis, that from this point and on, annually from the 15th and on, whoever adds shall be added. Meaning, says Rashi, from the 15th of Avinan, whoever adds and increases the nights onto the days to be involved in Torah study, in other words, he adds more Torah study in the nights, will add life to his current life. So by increasing in Torah study, we increase in our life. And that begins with the 15th of Av. Kivan shekol Yisrael b'cheskas kashrus, since we have a rule that all Jews are in a state of cheskas kashrus, they're to be presumed that they are fit and they're proper. Umekayimim mitzvas talmud Torah, al-dei kviyasitim la-Torah, and everybody is fulfilling the mitzvah of studying Torah. And they have set times, designated times to learn Torah. Kiddos hanitzno l'chol echad v'echad bilchas talmud Torah, in accordance with the law which was given to each individual in the laws concerning the study of Torah. That's what the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, that each individual has to learn Torah according to the law of that of which applies to them. So since everybody has set times to learn Torah, move on, it is understood, she'ikar v'shleimus ha'inyan de'isaf b'limudat Torah, that the primary and the perfect idea that we're talking about adding in study of Torah means that it's beyond and above limitation, because everybody's learning Torah. And if we say that we're supposed to be increasing and adding in learning Torah, that means that we're going above and beyond any limitation. Or to quote, to use the language of the verse in this week's parsha, b'chol me'oidecha, with all of your me'oid, all your might, me'oid shelach, your me'oid, which is connected with the true and absolute and the real Ma'oid, which means absolutely limitless, beyond any limitation. And this is the preparation for the addition in Torah in the true sense and in the complete perfect sense, in a fashion of literally beyond any limitation. How could that be? That, as we said, is what's going to be by the revelation of the Torah Chadasha Me'iti Teitzei, which will come forth from the essence of Hashem Himself. And through this becomes the completion of adding life to one's life, in a way that it's beyond any limitation. Namely, Chaim Nitzchim, eternal life. So by adding in Torah, in a way of B'ligvul, we then literally get Chaim of B'ligvul. V'adgasha Yisera b'chol anal, and an added emphasis to all of the above, b'Shabbos Nachamu, shelomachras chamishasar b'av dishnas heitinasei. That currently, as we find ourselves right now on Shabbos Nachamu, the day after the 15th of Av, in the year of 5751. or as it's referred to as heitinase, which means to uplift. Dubar kama pamim bitkufa achreina. It has been spoken of a number of times in the most recent period of time. Shelefi kol asimanim, that according to all the signs, nimtzayim anu, we find ourselves b'shana shemelech hamashiach yiskalaboy, in the year in which melech hamashiach will be revealed in it. Referring, of course, to the Yalkut Shimoni, which the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach began quoting week after week, nearly a year prior to this Farbrengen, when the Persian Gulf War began. So this, according to all the signs, is the year, in fact, in which Mashiach will be revealed in it. In addition to the calculation that now it's Erev Shabbos after midday, which begins on this year of 5751, because the midday period would be the year 5750. And it makes reference to the Sicha in Tavshin Nun. In other words, if you assume that every 1,000 years is a 24-hour period, that means that the night which precedes the day is 500 years, and then the next day is 500 years, so half of the day is 250 years. So that means that the year 5,750 is Chatzos, is halfway into the day of Erev Shabbos. And now it's already the year of 5751, so already after Chatzos. Kimrumas Baroshe Teivos, as is hinted in the acronym, Shnispashet Bechol Yisrael, which has become widespread amongst all Jews. Hayotzehei Shnas Niflois Arenu. Behold, it will be the year of Niflois Arenu, I will show him wonders. Referring to the Pasuk, which compares the redemption from this final Galus through Mashiach Tzidkenu to the original redemption from Mitzrayim. Ubifrat Shebemeshech HaShana, and especially, particularly, since throughout this year, Ra'u B'Poyol, we have seen in actuality, V'yiru Oid, and we will see more, Kama v'chama meurois, a number of events, shem niflois, that are considered wondrous. They are wonders. V'yesera mizeh, and more than that. Shekol echad mayem u'boifen shel pele, gam b'yachas la'pele shel fonav. Each one of these events is relative to the previous events, a pele, a wonder. Pele l'gabe pele shemoyer is pailus chadosha. Wonder compared to wonder, which arouses a new excitement. In other words, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is not only telling us to believe that Mashiach is coming, and not only to believe that this is the year in which Mashiach will be revealed in it, and we're going to see wonders, Arenu Niflois in the future tense, but he's telling us that we actually have seen them. We have seen Niflois, and he's guaranteeing us that we will see more. And now he's going to give an example and show us what's considered a pele of the times of Moshiach as the redemption is unfolding in front of our very eyes. Koilel gam pele shemisrachesh b'yomim elu mamish. This includes also the pele, the wondrous thing, which is happening literally these days right now. In other words, as the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is saying the Sicha on Shabbos Nachamu, the 16th of Menachem Av. What's happening? Kinus anash vashluchim sheichyu b'medinas Rusya. There is a convention, a gathering of Lubavitchers and emissaries of the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach in the country of Russia. Sheiskansu mikama v'kama mekoymos, that they gather together from a number of locations, from places. Gam mishar medinas shebo'olam, also from other countries in the world. Ba'yar Lubavitch. And where are they gathering? In the village of Lubavitch, the original Lubavitch. Koilel gam kedei lishtateach al tziyune kedesh shel rabiseinu nesiyenu shesham menuchasam kavod. And their gathering together includes also in order to pray, well, the term here used literally means to prostrate oneself, which actually it used to be the custom when one would go to the resting place of a tzaddik, they would actually physically bow down completely and prostrate themselves and lie down on the grave, which is not commonly done today, but the term still remains, and therefore going
to a tziyun, a resting place of a tzaddik, and praying there is referred to as lihishtateyach, as we find by Kalev ben Yefune going to Hebron to pray. So it says he was mishtateach al kivrei avos. He may have actually done that literally. So they're going to be mishtateach on the tziyune kodesh, on the holy resting places of our rabbeim, which are resting there in Lubavitch. That would be the Tzemach Tzedek and the Rebbe Maharash. V'gam al tziyun hakodesh shel adeni yovi meiri v'rabizal. And also, these Lubavitchers are going to be going to the resting place, to the tziyun, the holy resting place of my father, a blessed memory. Sheyem ha'ilula sheloi esrim ba'av. Misparich meyem ha'shabas kodesh hazeh. That his Yartzeit, his Yom HaHilula, which is the way we refer to the anniversary of the passing of a tzaddik, is on the 20th of Av, which receives its blessing from this Shabbos, because we know that all the days of the upcoming week receive their blessing from the preceding Shabbos. So this Shabbos, which is the 16th of Av, is giving the blessing for the entire upcoming week, which includes the day of the 20th of Av. And on that day is when they went to the resting place of Reb Levik, the father of the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach Shlita. V'noisaf lazeh, and in addition to this, miskansim be'ir abira d'chol ha'medina. They are assembling, they're gathering together in the capital city of the entire country, Moskva, in Moscow. Kedei lisya'etz ulistaber yachtov, in order to take counsel, to speak together, ish esreihu yazeru, as the pasuk says, that each man will assist his fellow, mitech ahava ve'achdus, and they're doing so out of love and unity. Ki ish echad b'lev echad, like Rashi brings down by the preparation for the giving of the Torah, as one man with one heart, Jewish unity. Ulekabel achlotes toivos, and to receive, to accept upon themselves good decisions, positive resolutions. Lohisif b'yesarseis uv'yesarois, to add with more strength and more might, b'afotzas ha-teira v'yadus, in the spreading of Torah and Judaism, b'afotzas ha-mayones chutza, and spreading of the wellsprings of Chassidus outward, b'chol ha-medina, in the entire country, u'b'chol o'ilam kuloi, and in the entire world, in its entirety, v'hi rotzein, and may it be the will of Hashem, she'i ha-kinus b'atzlocha rabu muflaga, that this kinus, this convention, should be with great, outstanding success, ubayfin shaleisaf kfulu mechupeles, and in a way of doubled over and redoubled success, demoisif yoisif, that whoever adds, v'ad leisaf shalemaylo b'mdidav akbala, up until an addition of beyond any limitation, shemeura zeh, that this event that we just described, huinin shel niflois, this is niflois, this is from the wonders of Moshiach. Sheoisa medina, that the very same country, shelochama, that waged the war, neged piuloisav, shel kveit kedushas meir vichami admon esidei reinu, it waged war against the activities of my father-in-law, the leader of our generation, and likewise with regards to the activities of the one whose yartzeit, the hilula, is on the 20th of Av, namely the father of the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, Rebbe Levik, in their activities of spreading Torah and the wellsprings of Chassidus outward, that very same country, Ma'arachas, is hosting Umchabedes and is honoring as Talmidav Ushluchav, his students and his emissaries, V'ha'ilchim Bidrachav V'erchaysav, and those that are going in his ways and paths, Bafatzas HaTorah V'mayonis Chutza, in the spreading of Torah and the wellsprings of Chassidus outward. Sheniflois elu, that these wonders, shekvaro bepoil, that we already saw it in actuality, me'oirim, they awaken, umadgishim, and they emphasize, shetekef umiyad, that immediately, roim hapelachi gadol, we will see the greatest wonder, geulo amitis vashleima, the true and complete redemption, aleha nemar, with regards to that geulo it is stated, and quoting the pasuk, "Ki meitzeis chamei aretz Mitzrayim arenu niflois." Just like the days that you left Mitzrayim, I will show him wonders. Niflois gam berech litzias Mitzrayim, that there are going to be wonders even compared to the wonders, the miracles and wonders that we saw when we left Mitzrayim. Now, no need to elaborate over here, but anybody who knows anything about the communism in the former Soviet Union can appreciate the niflois. And when you speak to Jews that come from Russia of that age, it's simply not to be believed. It is the biggest pella that Russia can host, and they can have such an event in an open manner. Absolutely, people's natural reaction, and they say it's Moshiach's Zeiten, that this is the times of Moshiach. And they're not mistaken. And if they don't mean it literally, then they're mistaken, because it actually is Moshiach Zeiten in the literal sense. And this is a clear example that the Rebbe Melech HaMoshiach is pointing out and using as an example to show us that the Niflois are happening, and they're happening now in the year of Arenu Niflois, 5751. Ubifrat, Shebishnas Niflois Arenu Atzma, Hoilchim Umiskarvim Lisyuma Shalashana. Particularly that within this year itself of Niflois Arenu, we are getting closer to the end of the year. We are already after the 10th month, Mechodesh Tishrei, if you count from Chodesh Tishrei. Normally, according to the Torah, Nisan is the first month, and therefore Av is considered month number 5. But traditionally, the way we count as far as the year is concerned, and the calendar year, we start with Tishrei, which is creation. Hascholas v'reish hashana, because that's the beginning and the head of the year. So we're ready after the 10th month. B'chedesh hayud aleph, which means we are currently in the middle of which month? We are in the 11th month of. Shekashrim achad asur yei mechayrev, which is connected with what we had in last week's parsha, 11 days from chayrev. That the journey from chayrev, which is Har Sinai, was an 11-day journey. And what's 11? B'chino shalomaylam imdidav agbala de'eser. That is aspect of higher and above any limitation of 10. The Seder Ishtalshelus. Because 10 is the letter of perfection. 10 is the letter of 10 is the number of perfection, rather. It's the number of completion. And that would be Seder Ishtalshelus, the whole downchain of the spiritual cause and effect of how Hashem is creating worlds and going yet lower and lower. That's all associated with 10. There are 10 spheroids, there are 10 maimarais, and so forth. So what's 11? 11 is beyond the limitation of nature. And also, if you're going to go according to the counting of the months from Nisan, which is biblically the way it goes, so which month are we in now? So she'ilu zachu. Listen to what the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is saying here. He's saying this on Shabbos Nachamu, in the year of Arenu Niflois, 5751. Had we merited, Hoysa ba geula b'chedesh Nisan, the redemption would have actually come this particular year in the month of Nisan. Sheboi nigalu uvayasidin li'goel. That traditionally we have, Chazal tell us, that just as the redemption took place in Nisan, originally from Mitzrayim, so too in the future with Mashiach. Val kol panim b'chedesh Iyar. At least it would have happened in the month of Iyar, the following month, which is Rashi Tevis Avram Yitzchak Yankiv Rachel Dalet Ragli Amerkava. The month of Iyar is an acronym for the three Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and then the last letter of the Reish is for Rachel. And those are the four legs of the Merkava, of the chariot above. And as the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach brings down in footnote 116, that the fourth regal of Rachel is also David, which is David Malka Mashiach. So Iyar is connected to Mashiach. But getting back to Rachel, Shemevaka al Banea Me'ano Lihinochem. It's the famous verse in Yirmiyah, Lamed Aleph Yud Dalet, 31:14, that Rachel weeps for her children. She refuses to be consoled. Ad Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mavticha, until Hashem promises her, Sheshovu Vanim Ligvulam, for your children will return to their border. Val Kol Panim B'Chedesh Tammuz, at least the Geula would have taken place in the following month of Tammuz, Chedesh HaGeula, which we know that the month of Tammuz is the month of redemption.
referring to the story of Yud Beis, Yud Gimel Tammuz, of the Rebbe Rayatz, and ever since then, it has been referred to as the month of Geula. Nimtzoim kvar b'chedesh achamishi. We already currently find ourselves in the fifth month. B'chinas achamishis lefaroi, which is the level of the fifth for paroi, which is referring to what Yosef HaTzadik had instituted, a tax. And he said, as it says in the end of Vayigash, that when you have the harvest, you have to give one-fifth to paroi. And then, and the four-fifths you get to keep. But Kabbalah comes along and explains, what's this fifth to paroi? The spiriu, the iskalyon minei kol nahirin. That from it, this is the highest godly level, where become revealed from it all lights. And that's associated with the fifth. So the fifth month is connected with the highest godly revelations, with the Geula. Chedesh Menachem of Shemazolei Aryeh Kanal Sifches. This is where we currently find ourselves in right now, the month of Menachem of, which is about Mashiach. And the month's Mazol, as we said, is Aryeh, lion. Uvechedesh Zeh Atzmai. And within this month itself, B'Shabbos Nachamu. We currently find ourselves in Shabbos Nachmu, Sheboi Maschila HaNechama B'Kiflaim, that in it begins the redoubled comfort, Kiflaim L'Sushia. As we said, the redoubled support for the redemption, the Shiva D'Nechemta, of the 7 weeks of comfort. Uvichetzu Yasheni Shel HaChodesh, and we're already in the second half of the month, because it's the 16th of Av. Which begins already the preparation for the upcoming months, for the next month. Chodesh Elul. And what is the next month that we now begin preparing for? It's the month of Elul. Chodesh Ha'achroin Tishnas Niflois Arenu. It's in fact the last month of this year of Niflois Arenu Al Shom Wonders. Footnote 122. I'm sorry. Footnote 121. Kiflaim L'Sushia points out to Rebbe Melech HaMashiach that the word Litushia is Begimatria Tinase 57, 51, or actually 751. So Litushia, which is that word, which we said means Yeshua, salvation, is the Gematria of that particular year. 122, that we're in the second half of the month, which is the preparation for the next month. The Yaseiram is more than that. It's not just because it's the second half of a month, so it's a preparation for the next month. Kayadusha Aryeh, it's known that the word Aryeh, which is the Mazel of Chodesh Menachem Av, is an acronym. Elul, Reish Hashana, Yema Kippurim, and Heshaina Rabba. Shekoilel, in addition to the fact that it's a preparation for, but it's also the month of Elul, and also Tishrei, up until and including Heshaina Rabba. So already in the month of Aryeh, in this month of Av, we have in it from Elul all the way through Heshaina Rabba. 123, and if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time where the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is telling us the Rosh Tevis for the following year of Tavshin Nun Beis of 57-52. In this footnote, remember, he says that it's the name which is Nispashet B'chol Yisrael, that all Jews call it that. But who do you think is publicizing this name, or who makes it up? So here we have footnote 123. V'gam Chedesh Achana L'Shana Abba. It's the last month of the year of Niflois Arenu, and it's also preparation for the upcoming year. Hey Tov Shin Nun Beis, 5752. Which is Rosh Tevois acronym, Hayoteishnas Niflois Bakoil, that it shall be the year of wonders in all. And in addition to that, as he brings down in the asterisk, the word Bakoil itself is the gematria of Nun Beis 52. Hainu, meaning, Shaniflois Einam Rak Binyanim Pratiyim. It's not just that we have wonders in specifics, in details, or in personal things. Eleni Flois Bakoil, its wonders in all, Baifin Shel Bligvul, in a way of being beyond limitation. Umitzad Heber Agbol Yeshnam Gam Kol Einyonim Afratim, and because there's no limitation, then we also have all the details.
Void v'gam ze'ikar. And furthermore, this is also a primary point. Loirak niflo yisarenu. Not only I will show him wonders, which is nun aleph, b'lashen asid, which is future tense. Elagam, but also niflos be'einenu, wonders in our eyes, which is nun beis, the Rosh Tevis. Kiloshen akasuv, as it says in the verse in Tehillim, me'is Hashem oisazois, from Hashem this happened. He niflos be'einenu, it's wondrous in our eyes. Meaning, shemahalalim lakadosh baruch hu, that we praise Hashem al niflois agiula for the wonders of the redemption, shekvar hayu bepoyel, that already took place in actuality, bishnas niflois arenu, in this year of arenu niflois. So next year, we already are giving praise for the wonders that took place in this year of arenu niflois. Uvenegea lepoyel, and with regards to actuality. Being that we find ourselves on the threshold of the true and complete redemption, in which all matters will be in a way of bleak vul, beyond any limitation, limitless. What needs to be now is the taste, be'erev Shabbos, because it's the eve of Shabbos. She'toiv litoy mikol tavshil v'tavshil, as the halacha is, that it's good to taste from every single dish before Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, you're supposed to taste from every dish of Shabbos. Meaning, what should we taste now? Mehablikvul dagyula, from the infinity, from the limitlessness of the redemption. Al yedei ha'hesafa binyani ha'teira mitzvahs ba'ivin shalamayla mulidav agbala. And this is done by our adding in matters of Torah and mitzvahs in a way of beyond any limitation. Ubifratius yoiser, and in more detail, ha'isafa belimud ha'teira, to add in Torah study, ma'isif leilis al hayomim lasik b'teira, as we said from the 15th above, one who adds the nights to the days to be involved in Torah study, hein nigla d'teira. This applies to the revealed part of the Torah, the exoteric part, ve'hein pnimius ha'teira, and it applies to the inner dimensions of Torah. Koilel limud ein yankiv, and including also the study of ein yankiv, agada shebateira, the stories of the Torah. There is a sefer called Ein Yaakov, which years ago an individual went ahead and he compiled from the entire Shas, from the whole Talmud, he pulled out all of the stories and he made it into a separate book called Ein Yaakov. And traditionally, throughout the generations, this was studied in shuls between Mincha and Ma'ariv. In synagogue, throughout the week, every day, between Mincha and Ma'ariv, people study Ein Yaakov. There's usually a class given. The Rav or someone gives over. And while they're waiting between the time of Mincha till it's late enough to daven Ma'ariv, during that period of time, they're learning Ein Yaakov. And there's many stories throughout the generations of how simple Jews who didn't really know how to learn, but they would come to shul to hear and listen to the Ein Yaakov, because it's stories. But one should not just think, oh, it's just stories. But the Alter Rebbe in Tanya tells us, Sh'roiv Seides HaTorah Gnuzin Ba, that most of the secrets of the Torah are hidden in Ein Yaakov, in these stories. So although it just sounds like it's a story, but when you're listening to the story, actually what's hidden in that is the secrets of the Torah. So we're supposed to increase in studying Torah, the revealed part of the Torah, the inner dimensions of the Torah, Ein Yaakov, Void V'Iker, and furthermore, and this is the main point, Limud Pnimius HaTorah, to study the inner dimensions of the Torah, Kedivrei Ho'Arizal, like the words of the Arizal. That, of course, is Reb Yitzchak Luria, Sheyem Hailula Shalei Bechamisha Menachem Av, that his Hilula, his yard site, was this month on the 5th of Av. And what does the Arizal say? Shebedoirois Eilu Hoachareinim Mutar Mitzvah Legales Zeisa Chochma. That in these last generations of ours, it is permissible and is a mitzvah to reveal this Chochma, referring to the esoteric section of the Torah. And especially after it was explained in the teachings of Chassidus,
boifen sheshayich la'avon avasaga de kolechot vachas miyisrael, in a manner that it is able to be understood and grasped by every single individual Jew. Vadgasham yuchedes ala isafa belimud ha'teira binyani ha'geula, and a special emphasis, particularly, on adding in which area in the study of Torah, in the topic, in matters of the redemption. Hein benigla de Torah, in the revealed part of the Torah, ubifrat besifrei shel harambam, and particularly in the book of the Rambam, Maimonides, and footnote 127, in addition to the daily studies that we have in the Rambam, that we do three chapters a day, or for those that can't, then they do one a day, or the Sefer HaMitzvahs. But in addition to that, Shekoilel Gam Halachis Sheshayochis Lizman HaGeula, for the Rambam in his book includes also the laws which are relevant to the time of the redemption, K'moi Hilchas Peis HaBechira, such as the laws of the chosen house, which is the way he refers to the temple, the Beis HaMikdash. For we just learned them now in these 3 weeks, in the days of the 3 week mourning period. And likewise, to study the laws of kings and their wars and the King Mashiach. And also to study about redemption in the inner aspects of Torah. For in addition to the general theme that studying the inner dimensions of Torah hastens the redemption, as it says in the Zohar, with this compilation of yours, Teirase Shel Rashbi, referring to the teachings of Reb Shimon ben Yochai, Yifkun Bei Min Galusa Berachem, they will go out, meaning the Jewish people will leave exile with mercy, by studying Zohar and related topics. Besides that, yesh ilui miyuchad, there's a special, unique, superior quality, belimud achalokim depnimius ha-Torah shemevarim inyonei ha-Geula, by studying those sections in the inner dimensions of Torah which explain the matters of the redemption. Umatoiv, and it would be good, shelimud zeyiyeh bo'ifen da'asara tzibur, sheyeshvim b'siyashvus u'kvius, v'iskim bo'ifen sheleisig ba'teira. It should be in a way that, as the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, and the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach is interjecting the explanation to this Mishnah, the Mishnah says that 10 people that are sitting and involved in Teira, so asara means it's a tzibur, it's a whole community, a congregation, and they're sitting, meaning it's in a permanence, and they're involved, meaning that it's asek, that it's something which they're really involved in deeply. As is the directive of the Mishnah that we study this Shabbos, Perek Shlishi, for this Shabbos is the third chapter of Pirkei Avos, which also is hinting to the third redemption and the third Beis HaMikdash. Shall Yodam Nasis Hanechama Bekiflaim Al Bais Rishon Al Bais Sheni. Through the third redemption and the third Beis HaMikdash, there becomes the comfort for the double comfort for the first and for the second Beis HaMikdash. V'yesh Loisiv Limud V'Hira B'Shaychus Linin HaGeula, and we can add a lesson and a directive with regards to the concept of redemption, Gam Me'ascholas Perek Shlishi, also from the beginning of the third chapter of Pirkei Avos. How does the Mishnah begin? The chapter begins by saying, Yistakel B'Shleisha Dvarim, look at three things. Shleisha Dvarim, Stam. It just says three things. Plain, three things. Yeshleimar, we can say, Shagam Reim is the Gula Shlishi, so Beisamit Shashlishi, that this too is hinting to the third redemption and to the third Beis HaMikdash. Geula Mishuleshes uveis HaMikdash Mishulash, a threefold redemption and a threefold Beis HaMikdash. Shekoilel, which includes in it then, Beis HaMailos, the two advantages, the Geula Rishayna Ushniya, of the first and the second redemption, by Srisha Nusheni, the first and the second Beis HaMikdash respectively, Ushneim Yachad, and the two together, fused together. So when we're speaking about three things, we're talking about the redemption and the Beis HaMikdash. V'istakel b'shleisha dvarim, what does it mean when it says, look at three things? Histakel daika, look, shemoyre al ha'iyun v'ha'isbonenus b'amoka yaseira, which the word histakel represents looking deeply and meditating in depth. About this concept, this theme of the third redemption and the third Beis HaMikdash, which is the three things that the Mishnah is talking about. So we're supposed to look and deeply think about this with a very special longing. I await his coming every day. Not just the meaning that each day I await that eventually he will come, but each day I await his coming daily, that he will come today. Literally on this very day. So I am awaiting his coming in an impatient way. And how much more so, when we currently find ourselves on the threshold of the redemption, that this deep looking and focusing on the three things, mainly, namely on the redemption, is with much greater strength and with more might. We can say that the looking and the deeply concentrating on the redemption as it's brought out in the third redemption and the third Beis HaMikdash, actually accomplishes completion in all the matters which are included in these three things. Gimel Akavin, the Torah, Aveda, Ugmidos Chasadim. Three avenues of Torah, Aveda, service, which would generally be the sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash or prayer, and Gemilus Chasadim, charitable acts, acts of goodness and kindness. Shekiyumam, that one fulfills these three things, al yidei gimul alavushim demachshav v'dibur maizeh, through the three soul garments of thought and action. Shavoyda eina boifin shel ischalkus, that this service is not in a way of division, ela boifin shel bligvul, but rather we're doing it in a way of being limitless, beyond any limitation. Umitzad heder agvala yeshna ashlemus b'chol akavin. And again, because there is no limitation, therefore, it's done in the complete perfect way of all of these different avenues of Teira, Veidin, Milus Chasadim, etc. V'yesh leisi b'zeh gam b'shachus l'amur li'il al dvar ha'isofa b'limad ha'teira mechamish asar ba'av ha'ilach. And we can add to this, also with regards to what we said earlier about adding in Teira study from the 15th of Avinan. Shleisha dvarim, three things. Remez gam al ha'teira is also a hint to Teira. Urient Lisoi, as it's referred to in the Talmud in Shabbos Peches Aleph 88a, where it's called the triple Torah. Koilel uvim yuchad, and this includes and particularly Hatera Chadosha Shemiti Teitze Bigula Shlishis. This new Torah, the new dimensions of Torah that we spoke about, which will come forth from Hashem himself, from his very essence, by the third redemption. Shachana Lazeh, that the preparation for receiving this Teira Chadasha, he al yidei ha'isafa b'limad ha'teira b'ifin shel b'ligvul mechamisha asabra v'eilach kanal siftes. And that is done through adding in Teira study in a way of beyond any limitation, beginning with the 15th of Avinan. Val pizeh yesh levar ha'iras ha'mishnah. And based on this, we now can explain the directive of the Mishnah. Istakel b'shleish ha'dvarim, look intently in the three things. Shenilmedes b'yem ha'Shabbos shelamachres chamish asar bav, which is studied on the day of Shabbos, which is following the day of the 15th of Av. Meaning today, on the 16th of Av, we're studying the third chapter of Pirkei Avos, where it says this directive. She'af shebechamish asar bav, that although on the 15th of Av, which was Erev Shabbos yesterday, hichlit kol echad v'achas, every single individual resolved, and began to fulfill in actuality, to add in Torah study. Mikol makom, nonetheless, b'yei mashabbos shalom acharasoi, and the next day, which is Shabbos, tzarich livchoin, one needs to test, histakel, look intently, oidapam, again, ha'achlotes shaloi, his resolutions, ulahoisif b'yam oid yoser, and to add even more to whatever decisions, whatever resolutions one made. Boifin kofel, in a doubled way, meaning to add again. Until there'll be in a manner which is appropriate and fit for the preparation
It'll be in a small sense, it'll be akin to the limitless Torah Chadasha Meiti Teitzei. Hashleimus de Urient Lisoy Begula Shlishis. The completeness and the perfection of the triple Torah, which we're going to have by the third redemption. V'hiratzoin, and it may be the will of Hashem. Shemeistaklus, that from our looking intently, iyun v'isbonenus, looking deeply and meditating, binyone agyula shlishis, in the matters of the third redemption, ubeis hamikdash shlishi, in the third temple, histakl v'shleish advarim, which is the way we interpreted looking at the three things, nizke, we will merit, takef umiyad immediately, lirois, to see, hagyula shlishis, the third redemption, ubeis hamikdash shlishi, and the third beis hamikdash, pepeil mamish, in actuality, v'takef umiyad mamish, and immediately, literally, uvepashtus, and to spell it out in simple terms. Bishabbos Parshas Voschanon, Shabbos Nachamu, on the Shabbos, which is the week of the portion that we read Voschanon, it's Shabbos Nachamu. Lifnei Yascholah Sakriya Bizman Amincha Beparsha Shel Achrei Zevoyekev Tishmon, before we begin the reading at Mincha time of the next Parsha, which starts Voyekev Tishmon, and what will happen as a result of your listening. That is the next parsha, and that we begin reading, of course, at Mincha of Voschanon. So before we even get to that, Sheshayich b'miyuchad tkufazu, that this statement of Vayekev Tishmon is especially relevant in this period of time of ours. Kayadu, as it's known, Sheekev, that the word here used is Ekev, which means heel. Koy is referring gam alachris hayomim, also to the end of days. Ikvisa de Mashiach, the heel, the footsteps of Mashiach. She'oz, that then, vadai, certainly, tishmun goymer, you will hearken, you will listen, ushmartem vasisem goymer, and you will guard and you will keep. Kol inyonei ha-teira mitzvahs, all matters of teira mitzvahs, machshava, v'dibur, u'maisa shleish advarim, thought, speech, and action. Again, the three things. So immediately, on this very day, before we get to read v'hayekev tishmun, miskayemes pakoshas meshe, is fulfilled the request of Meshe, Geil Rishen Hu Geil Achrin, the first Redeemer is the final Redeemer, again making a reference that Meshe and Mashiach are very much intertwined and connected. Please let me cross over and see the good land, this good mountain, Zu Yerushalayim, which Rashi says is a reference to Yerushalayim, V'halavonoin, and the Levanoin, which Rashi says is the Beis HaMikdash, which is referring to the Beis HaMikdash. So Moshe Rabbeinu back then was asking Hashem, please let me into the land and let me see Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash. So what happens now is, Shemeshe Rabbeinu, V'chol Doiroi, Moshe Rabbeinu and his entire generation, V'chol B'nei Yisrael Shebechol HaDoiroi, and all of the Jewish people of all the generations, Yachad B'nei Yisrael Shebedeireinu Zeh, together with the Jewish people of our current generation. And again, to paraphrase the verse going back to the Exodus from Egypt, Binareinu vizkeinenu geimer bibaneinu bibneisenu, with our youth and our elders, with our sons and our daughters, meaning everybody. Unesi deireinu bireishenu, and the leader of our generation at our head. Boim, we come, v'nichnasim l'artzeinu akdeshen, we enter into our holy land. L'Yerushalayim ir hakedesh, to the holy city of Yerushalayim, l'har hakedesh, to the holy mountain, ulaveis hamikdash hashlishi, and to the temple, the holy temple, the third one. V'chaygigim sham esimchas hagi'ula, and we celebrate there the joy of the redemption. Miteich simcha g'deila v'yiseira, gam b'yachas esimchas peis hasheiva, with great additional joy, even greater than the joy of the simchas peis hasheiva, which took place during the nights of Sukkot, when they went to draw the water for the libation on the next day. So during the nights, there will be tremendous, tremendous joy and dancing. She'aleha amru, with regards to this joy of the Beis HaShe'eva. Our sages teach us in Tractate of Sukkah, Mi she'le'ra simchas Beis HaShe'eva, le'ra simcha miyamav, whoever did not see the joy of this Beis HaShe'eva celebration, never saw true joy in his entire life. So the simcha, the joy that we're going to have in celebrating in the third Beis HaMikdash with the redemption is going to be much greater even than that joy. Uvilashen chazal b'siyum v'cheis maseches tainis, and to use the language of our sages of blessed memory, at the end and the conclusion of the tractate of tainis, b'hemshech hasugya de lo'yhoi yom tevim l'yisulak hamisha asar ba'av, in continuation there of the topic, the discussion there where it speaks about the great festival of the 15th of Av, and they make the statement that there were never any great festive days for the Jewish people, such as the 15th of Av.
So there it concludes and says, Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in the future, in the time of the redemption, Hashem is going to lases machil atzadikim, to make a great circle, a big circle for the righteous, v'yeshev b'neim, and he sits amongst them. V'chol echad v'echad mare be'etzboi, and every single individual points with his finger, shows with his finger, shenemar, as the verse states, quoting from Yeshaya Chafhei, Tes 25, verse 9, V'omar b'yeim hahu, on that day, the Jewish people will say, Hine elekeinu zeh, indeed, this is our Hashem, kivinu loy the yeshienu, in whom we have hoped that he should deliver us. Zeh Hashem kivinu loy, this is Hashem in whom we have hoped, nagila v'nismecha b'yishuasoy, let us be glad and rejoice in his deliverance. Yechi adeinenu mireinu v'rabeinu melech ha-moshiach leilam v'ed.